Committee for the City of Newport and the Newport Permit Renewal Agency. Call to order. Roll call, please.
Sawyer.
Here.
Gorham.
Here.
Swanson.
Here.
Patrick.
Present.
Salins.
Here.
Easter.
Here.
Webster.
Here.
Busby.
Here.
Springsteen.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Rumadu.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
And Beamer.
Here.
Thank you very much. We have the approval of the minutes for May 8th, 2012. Does someone want to present them for approval?
I would second. Like to have gotten them.
We didn't get them.
Everybody got a copy at the first meeting.
Oh, the first meeting. We're talking about. Yeah. Okay. So you wouldn't even vote on it.
Yeah, I was looking for mine too. I haven't seen it, but I guess.
And you posted them on the website too.
I don't know if they're on the website.
I think you
do. Do I have a second?
Sure, second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Fine. Approval of the minutes for the May 15, 2012 meetings. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second is here. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I sent out a notice to all of the Budget Committee members recently about the responsibilities of a Budget Committee in the state of Oregon, and I hope that I know that everybody received a copy of that and will make good use of it. I just want to remind you that our job here is to assist the City Council, not to insist that they do something, but to assist. So all of our recommendations are just recommendations. They are not policy matters. Only the City Council for the City of Newport makes policy matters. They are the ones who will make the final determination of all of the budget assets for this community. We had asked last time at the conclusion of our meeting to have several people work on a report that was going to be given tonight to the Budget Committee regarding interest within the Public Works Department. But since that report appeared in the News Times, and it was an excellent report, one of the best articles I've ever seen written in the News Times, it's really excellent. I'm going to present this to Peggy Hawker. I want you to introduce this in a minute as a copy of their report. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to go on to the budget presentations for parks.
Chairman Smith.
And recreation. Pardon? Yes, Mark.
With all due respect, I will have to hopefully be viewed as one of the least controversial council members, and as such, I'm going to point out that I disagree with you that the newspaper article is a sufficient description of what the committee has done. I was hoping to come here tonight and find out that since our report had been pre-released, that there would at least be a copy of it on the table. It's not on the table. And so for the continuation of what the subcommittee was asked to do, we've made copies of the report for those of you who may not have yet seen it or perhaps didn't bother to read it after reading what was in the newspaper. I don't know what the reasons are, but we were asked as an official subcommittee to put together a report. We would have preferred to have done a final version of the report. That option wasn't available to us. So I'd like permission to at least hand out the draft that the newspaper had the pleasure of using.
I don't see any problem with that at all, handing out the draft. And also making a copy available to Peggy Hawker to
include. We have that copy. The last comment I'd like to make is part of why I disagree with you. At no time was I ever asked about anything prior to that article being published. So to try to represent that an article in the newspaper represents what I've been doing is not correct.
I have no idea how the article got in the paper, except I did talk to the city manager, and he said he releases all information that comes into his office to the newspapers as a matter of law. So I guess that's how it got into the newspapers, but be that as it may, it was a good article and good commentary on both sides of the issue, and it's our pleasure to accept your report. That's fine. I see no problem in that whatsoever. If that report differs from this article whatsoever, it'll give the city council an opportunity to make that discussion and to engage in that discussion and to do whatever they feel is best to alleviate any problems that can be resolved from it. At the end of our meeting tonight, we have an opportunity to present motions, and if there's a motion that comes up in regards to that report, that's the time we'll do it, and then we'll lock into it there.
Thank you
so much for passing that report out, and I appreciate your diligence. You guys have worked hard on that and deserve to... Here we go. Okay, I'd like to send... Thank you so much. There you go. Parks and Recreation, here we go. Jim, you are up and on the ticket.
I don't know where exactly to present to you, so I'll just stand here, I guess.
Usually folks have been sitting at that table there,
right.
Jim, so.
Next to the
table. Yeah.
Okay. I'm fine standing.
No, I don't.
Well, I'd like to present to you tonight the Parks and Rec budget. It's before you. It's basically very similar to last year's budget. There are a few things in there. In my presentation tonight, I was thinking through over the last couple of days how I might present to you. On the very first meeting, I had a whole presentation of warm, fuzzy, nice things, the many benefits that the Parks and Rec Department bring to a community, bring to its residents. But fast forward to tonight, I think you're all pretty sharp in looking through all the different things. So I would like to present to you a list of the questions you should ask me, and then at the end, there shouldn't be any questions, but if you do, I'll still answer those. But the first is, when you look through the Parks and Rec Department, why don't you see the Parks Division budget as has been years previously? If you recall, and if you weren't here last year they moved the park maintenance budget from Parks and Rec proper into Public Works, and so now that shows up over there. That's why it's not there. Second thing you should ask is, why is there a brand new sports division? Did you go out and start a whole new thing? Well, in your budget, this year we separated out the sports programs so that we can track that a little bit better. It was a function of our programs division. We just pulled it out of there, and that's how that shows up, and that's why it shows up, and it makes complete sense because the sports coordinator reports directly to me that I didn't want him spending money in somebody else's budget because Judy is responsible for that division. So that's why that shows up like that. The next thing you're going to say is, well, Jim, you're doing lots of events. why did you pull out your events and put it in the admin section? And again, we're not doing anything fundamentally different this year. It's just that I want to track exactly what expenses and what revenues are generated from the many different events that we're doing. And we're doing some new special events. The only thing that's going to be new this year is we're going to do a Buccaneer Rampage, and that's going to be along the Muddy Warrior or Muddy Buddy type of thing. That will be in August. That shows up under the admin thing. I will share with you that the events that we're doing are gaining momentum. We anticipate that they'll do better in the future, and that will help offset some of the programs or expenses that we have that don't have a revenue stream to them. So that's actually a good thing. We just put it in an admin so that we can track it and that we don't have to expend on somebody else's budget in order to do that. You may have looked in there and said, how come you're paying back the general fund about $75,000? That is a new expense to the Park and Rec Department. It makes sense. We couldn't afford to do it in years previously, so it wasn't. But that's how we as a department, pay back for the services of the finance department, of the city manager, of the HR coordinator, of the some of those services. So then you should ask me, why does the Parks and Rec Department receive transient room tax at all? And the reason is simple, is that your investment from the transient room tax into the Parks and Rec Department pays back the community many times over. With all the different events that we hold in form of sports tournaments, swimming events, people coming to town, the athletic events that we do, we have a ton of reasons for people to come to town. And when those people come to town, they stay in all the hotels. That's what generates your transient room tax. So the investment that you make in us actually pays back to the community tenfold. I don't have an exact number, but it's really a good thing. And so we should receive a little bit of that because we actually contribute in significant ways. Number five, let's go to six. You should ask me, Jim, will the Parks and Rec Department ever achieve cost neutral? Will you ever pay your whole way? The answer is no. And if we did, and if there was a model that we would do that, then we would eliminate the largest portion of our community because they wouldn't be able to afford all the services that they take place. What I mean by that is if we charge the full freight for the cost of the operation, then we would really only have the financially elite participating, and that's not representative of the whole community. And that's why we put in about 43% of the cost of doing this so that it's accessible to all people in our community, thus the community benefits. And then lastly, what are we gonna do about getting a new pool? You should ask that. And the answer is we're working on it. But we're working on it real diligently. But that won't matter in here because that's going to be, even if everything falls into place, it won't be but 3 years down the road. So those are the questions that I anticipated you asking me by looking through this. And I'm hopeful that you might have a few more for me. And if not, I can yield the rest of my time because I know you've got a busy agenda. Or I'll be happy to talk about any aspect of our operation or the expenses associated with it. What do you want?
Questions for the Parks and Recreation Department.
Question.
Yes, sir.
On your personal services for park administration.
Yes.
Which is only one FTE.
Yes, that's correct. Except for that's confusing because under administration, I have two part-time employees. Those two people work 20 hours or less per week. And they primarily work on the grounds around the park, the recreation center, senior center, and some of City Hall. And they primarily pick weeds. And the reason we have to do that, we have to pay for those people, is because we don't use any herbicides. And so if not, it would just be overtaken. And so they do the hands and knees type work, and they pick that. And it wasn't appropriate to put it anywhere else, and that's why I chose up there.
So your salary and wages and salaries, has that in there?
Yes, that's correct.
And your part-time extra help is the part those.
There are two people that work less than 20 hours per month.
The other question I had was on workers'
per month. Per month.
On your workers' compensation costs for the full-time position and your part-time workers, it sounds like, and we're close to $3,500. Is that prorated against some of your other operations?
I would think not. However, I don't understand how workman's comp is calculated, and I'm looking for some help from finance because I don't actually make that calculation.
Let me give you an answer on that. It should be $3,500 based on
just, one and a quarter.
I'll find out. I'll give you an answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Okay.
Jim?
Please.
Mark? If you have a question, go ahead.
On the pool, there is a planning process going on. Where is that reflected in the budget?
There is no reflection of that planning process going on. Basically, what we are doing is we're working with an architect that is put together some conceptual designs, and we anticipate that being wrapped up by the end of June. So there is no money in this budget that we foresee being expended on that into next year. If we come up with suitable findings and it makes sense to move forward on that, all general obligation bond advertisement stuff will come from private funding. It won't be city dollars in any way, shape, or form.
So that was an added expense to your department this fiscal year?
Yes, that's correct.
So that was reflected.
It's not reflected anywhere, and let me tell you why. Because we didn't anticipate that going into, but we had major pool problems. I came before council. It was very transparent, open. We said not to exceed $10,000, and council made that approval, and so we made that expenditure. We believe that will come completely from cost savings that we won't expend in the pool because we were down for 2 months. We don't have this high of visit expenses, and that's how that happened. Yes, good question. Mark.
Just a comment. I have the pleasure of being in contact with the Parks and Rec Committee, and I just wanted to express my, for lack of a better term, my amazement when I first attended that committee, seeing really an example of what the best committees look like. I mean, all the participants are engaged. They're fully aware of exactly what's going on with Parks and Rec from month to month. Many of them are conscious of the fact that, you know, we are in a situation where we have to basically subsidize the Parks and Rec effort, but that's balanced with the needs of particularly a large tourism community. Features of parks and recreation. I mean, that's why people come here. So I just wanted to share that as an observation that it's one of the most active, most thoughtful, most involved committees I've seen. And although I haven't seen it yet, I'm sure if Jim were to take a misstep, they would probably hold the task for it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Commentary?
Yeah, Jim, you might say a word since it is a bit unique about the foundation.
Well,
it's not in here.
It is not.
It won't be.
Yes. We are working diligently with a group of citizens and have established a foundation, which will be a Friends of the Parks and Rec Foundation. This foundation will be a 501c3 nonprofit arm. It will not show up in any city budget because it will not be city-driven. It will be a citizen-driven Friends group, and they will, much like what the library does, generate private funds, listed funds, make gain revenue, and then enhance our operations in ways that the city is not capable to do.
Jim?
Sir?
You mentioned this to the council, but it's probably good for the budget committee to hear. Given the issues with the pool and some of the maintenance or repairs that have been done recently, what's the anticipated lifespan of the pool with ongoing maintenance and repair? You've given it a lifespan of, I think it's good to acknowledge what we're looking at with Band-Aid approach over the next several years.
David, obviously I don't have a crystal ball.
Well,
but I will do the best
I
can.
Well, you have given us a time frame at the council.
It's a fair question, and I'm going to give you my best answer, not knowing things that I can't see. We have recently replaced all the sewer lines in the bottom of the pool. And it took us 2 months. I couldn't have done it without Tim Gross and the Public Works Department and all the many hands that went into the digging and the moving and the putting it together. At the end of that, we have the same old 50-year-old pool, same list of problems, less the drains. The drains are fine now. All the other problems still exist. Your specific question, David, was how much longer do we have? And I would suggest to you, we're out of time. But we're going to keep it going, and we're going to keep it going until it's either cost prohibitive to continue, or we have a catastrophic failure that's not replaceable or repairable. The whole list of problems associated with that facility is long, and it's real. I would say that we can still keep the doors open. However, we've got problems there, and those problems are basically due to the facilities wearing out, instruments not just needing replacement. For example, our heating bill this month alone is twice what it was last year for the same month, and we just have a boiler that's aged, that's going working double time for us. So even if we could replace or fix or constantly keep doing this, which perhaps we can, it might not make sense, the basic need of our current 50-year-old pool is that, or the basic structure of it doesn't meet the needs of the community because we have one body of water that's either too warm for the competitive or lap swimmers, or it's too cold for the baby and me senior type classes. So really, it doesn't, the facility we have doesn't even meet the needs, although we're going to do everything we can to keep it running. I would say a couple of years, if I could guess, 5 to 6 years. I think if we really we got lucky, we could make it 10 years. I think after that, you're going to have to say, hey, what are we really doing here? I don't think it will last that long. I really don't.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Better run and get your suit on. Yes.
Thinking about the foundation, having worked with the library and the Library Foundation, yes, it was in the library, it's used to add value.
Yes.
But it's also seen as another source of income, another funding stream. So as we're looking at the amount of, not just room, the transit room tax, but now the general fund that goes into Parks and Rec, what other strategies do you have to cut back on that need for general funds?
Yeah, excellent question. And the answer and the way out for the Parks and Rec Department will be to continue to add value, which adds more people coming. But the real way for us is revenue generation, and it's something that we have been working on for the last couple of years, and we will continue to do that. And that is create events, create programs, things that bring in more than they cost to do. And the one that we just finished up was with the Home and Garden Show, and I don't want the press to find out, but we did real well with that one. But those types of things, the Buccaneer Rampage is coming on. We did our Coast Hills Classic mountain bike races. So we're doing events that bring not only people to town, but bring revenue to the department. And that's the real way out. We do have an accelerator in our rates, but we don't want to double our rates or anything, because then that just pushes people away. So,
do you have a target, a projected?
I want to
like this.
I want to no. We are leveled off. We are not drawing on the general fund.
It's not
going up. We are level, and it's good to be level. I mean, it's hard to stay level in a world where expenses continue to accelerate. But we have leveled it off, and we've stayed level for about the last, David, 2 or 3 years now. I mean, we've really drawn the line and been held accountable to that line and stayed under the line.
Any other commentaries? Anybody? Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that very much. We're moving on to the airport fund.
I'll go ahead and address that. The airport fund has two cost centers. It has the airport operations, which is responsible to make sure the airport is compliant with its Part 199 operations. And it has the FBO, which is a fixed base operation, and the purpose of that is right now is to catch and sell fuel. On the airport operations, there are two relatively they're small expenditures, but they're big in $15,000 range. One is for a zero turn mower, and this will be allow us to be more efficient in mowing around all those little lights that you see along the airport. Right now we do it with a hand mower. Last year we actually borrowed the Parks and Rec mower, and it worked out so well that they plan to purchase one that this year. That's around $15,000. There's another $15,000 expenditure, and that is to replace some lights that have fallen down. Some pole lights, the pole just rusted out, fell over.
busted our fences, and so we took a couple of them down, and the plan is to start replacing them. Also in the air operations, and this is the biggest expenditure, will be the project 1634 runway project. That's an overall $8 to $9 million project that requires a 10% match from the local match. 448,000 of that is going to come from a Connect Oregon grant, so our effective match is around 5%. We also plan to purchase an ARFF truck, and that's the air rescue
firefighters
truck. And that is a requirement of our Part 139 certification. It is being funded 90% by an FAA grant. Again, you're responsible for 10%. So on the airport operations, we have the match funding in and those few projects. The rest of that is just employees doing a great job, keeping the airport looking good, mowed, all the wildlife regulations and whatnot. On the FBO side, there is one more, in the airport operation. There is one more large expenditure, and that's budget of $150,000 for some roof replacement, and that is for the FBO roof that right now leaks really bad, and one of the walls in the main hangars is just that you have mold growing on it. So before we start doing work on the interior, we want to seal the roof off and around the top so that then we can do repairs inside that will not get damaged. We also have some money set aside to do some minor repair to the T-hanger roofs. A couple of the end roofs where the roof actually connects to the girders is loose, and what we don't want is a big wind to rip the roof off and damage a plane inside the hangar. So we've got some money to make sure that makes it through next winter, and then next year we'll be budgeting for more repair to the T-hanger roofs. So that's the FBO operations, the airport operations. On the FBO, we're buying fuel and selling fuel. And it's pretty straightforward. We have some just day-to-day costs that we have from year to year. So nothing really about the FBO, because it's really right now all we do is sell fuel, and the biggest expenditure is selling fuel, and the revenue is from the sale.
Jim, why is the fuel expense down 25% from the year before, both the revenue and the output?
Last year, we just estimated high. I mean, the numbers in the budget are just estimates. And because there's a relationship between how much you buy and how much you sell, there's a markup. If you buy less, you sell less. If you sell more, you buy more. And so this year, we just try to get it closer to what our actuals were. If we happen to need more fuel, we'll essentially buy more fuel because there is a revenue component of it.
Okay, a couple more questions, if you would. Telephone expense was $8,300 for the airport. I know I asked you about this a while back. Find out why.
This past probably 4 or 5 months, as finance has been doing a different way of showing how the utility bills are being billed, electrical, sewer, and telephone, it has shown up just not in the airport, but other areas that we're paying for phones that might not be there. So we have disconnected several phones out at the airport, and now we're just paying for the basic ones. One thing about the phone expense, we actually expected this next year to go even down further because we're switching our overall phone system within the city. And once we get fiber out there, which should also happen, they'll be on our system, so that should go down. Because we're not sure exactly when it'll happen, we budgeted it higher.
A couple more quick questions. Small tools and equipment, and this isn't,
I noticed it's in the airport, but across the board it's $49,000. It was $41,000 last year. And that comes to like $400 per employee. And of course, you figure that the majority of the employees don't even touch small tools and equipment. So why is that so high?
You know, we just have money there in case we need something. And if we need it, we buy it. If we don't, we don't expend it. So, you know, it's budgeted that amount, but I think if you look at the actual expenditures, it's probably that.
And firearms for the airport? I mean, I know they already got something.
Yep.
David?
Jim, two questions. On page 102, you indicate the personnel are the airport operations manager, fixed base operations manager. Are you comfortable that with that new kind of that new set of employees and how that's been working? An airport director is going to be necessary, or do you feel comfortable that these two managers for the time being are handling all the issues that we need to have dealt with?
Great question. And I have to tell you, Terry and Lance, one being the operations manager, one the FBO manager, have stepped up and they have done a fantastic job. For the next few years, I don't see a need for an airport manager, primarily because of this one large project that's going to spend all of our discretionary FAA money for the past few years that we've accumulated, plus this year and next year, that there really is going to be any money to do anything capital-wise, particularly since our next request from the FAA will be an update to the master plan. So when we start getting into the master plan and looking out to the future, there could be a need for a position to look at where's the airport going to be in the next 10, 15 years. But I think for the next year or 2 years, for sure, that how it's operating right now, it's doing a great job. And I have to compliment Terry and Lance for just doing a fantastic job stepping up. And actually, the airport's being operated better now than it ever has. They're doing a great job.
And we also have the project manager from Public Works helping out, correct?
Yes, for that project.
Yes.
Thank you.
And one more question. On page 103, under revenues, if you look at the fiscal year 13 budget and the proposed budget for fiscal year 14, the transfers from general fund to room tax fund, I know you explained that we're doing a little different accounting. It's going from the room tax fund to the general fund and then into the airport fund, but there's still a discrepancy. Could you just explain, since we are talking about, if you add both of those up, for last year it was around $325,000. This year it's close to $600,000. So there's obviously some more money being necessary for the airport fund coming out of the general fund.
Yep.
Can you explain what that is, just so everyone's clear?
Yeah, another excellent question. That represents the local match for the FAA 1634 project.
Okay, good. Yep. Thanks.
Question? Yes.
Jim, on your cover sheet, you're showing that the $488,000 on the net Oregon grant. Mm-hmm. And then on your itemized sheet, it shows $430,000. What happened to the
$58,000? Dave, what happened with my phone? I know the answer is that part of it has been expended this year. So yeah, so the project is crossing fiscal year, so. We actually may be using a little bit more of it this year. I think we have a request for $95,000. So these numbers within the last month since we generated have changed because the project has accelerated. So we calculated next year based on what we're going to spend this year. So if we spend more this year, we'll get less next year, but we expect it this year. So at the end of the project, it all works out. But that's why there's not the court underneath you.
And one more time. If you get into a master plan for the airport, could you end up contracting that service out instead of having to hire a director?
Well, we would contract that portion out, but I think at some point in the future, and again, it's a few years down, the airport will be to a point of, you know, doing a master plan. So how are you going to attract businesses, more airport operations? And those two are going to go hand in hand, and you want an airport director with those set of skills, not just the operations, but those planning skills, because once it's adopted, then you're going to want to be able to implement it, so you want somebody to be able to do that.
And the advantage of the city having the airport is?
Well, there's several reasons. One, life safety. Again, if there's ever a Cascadia event, this is where all the supplies are going to come in. So we need to keep that in operations. We get a lot of people coming in and out. We get air freight coming in and out. I think it's something that adds to the community that's worth having. Yeah,
but then for the future, the advantage also is that if we have utilities out there, that there's potential for more.
Yes, and that's probably one of the biggest drawbacks right now is the limited water, no sewer. We hope to get telecommunications out there this year. But until all those are in place, and again, other airports we're competing with have nice big flat grounds already developed. That's pretty tough terrain, so it's just not the utilities. It's getting the land developed to a state where a company can come in quickly and start doing business. And it'll take several years until we get to that point.
We get daily FedEx and daily UPS.
Are there any other comments? Yes.
It's following up on what Ole was saying, and I think I'm stepping back too of how much general fund we're investing in the airport. I support the upgrade, the grant match, and the new truck, just so we have to meet basic regulations. But it does look like if you look at the lease income on hangars and you look at what it's generating, it's pretty low for, I think, the return we get. And I've never really seen anything since the end of commercial traffic of how much it really is used, who uses it, compared, or I think Parks and Rec and probably our return on that general fund money, or if I look at the libraries and their return on that general fund money in terms of recreation and visitors, just my gut feeling we're getting a little bit better general return. And so I would like to see more information about that or ask the city council to look at that. What is it's always said, oh, we have lots of planes coming and going, and every one of them drives into town and spends $500 on lunch. I don't think that's the reality, but I could be wrong, and I've never seen that documented. So I would appreciate that, perhaps as a budget note or some a direction to the city council.
Don't think you can ever have an expectation.
Anyone else?
Well,
yeah,
I guess the other thing is it's not very many cities actually have an airport. So since a lot of times it's a port district or it's another entity.
Right.
Because we do, it's an added level of our government. And I think it really behooves the city council to think about what do we need it for besides, I like FedEx too. And the emergency services, but I think it does need to return.
And if I could add, I mean, that's a very good point. This is a regional airport. This is not a Newport airport. This is a regional airport. But to get the region to pay for it is a difficult task.
Yeah.
And I've asked the port to take it over and offer to give it to them for a dollar, but they
Laura?
Under the airport FBO revenues, the last one is transfer from room tax fund. You have figures for 12-13, but not under, so your 14, you don't have any figures there. Is that because you aren't going to use room tax anymore, or it's just an oversight?
No, there is no room tax going to the FBO. The FBO is really a service. It provides sales fuel, so it's not really appropriate to use promotion and tourism dollars to sell fuel.
Well, there's $67,000 under the fiscal year 13 budget from the room tax fund.
Well, remember last year we kind of
I wasn't here last year.
Yeah,
be careful about that.
Last year we blended general fund room tax and promotion room tax. So that was probably all general fund room tax. That should have first gone to the general fund and then back. So we corrected that so it's very clear what is promotion money and what is not.
All right, thank you.
David?
So one comment to Janet's comment about minimizing the use of general fund. One thing we have looked at is some of the general fund subsidy is going into the airport FBO, and we are hoping and looking to see if someone will take that over from the city and actually run that as a business and relieve the city's obligation from having to use general fund money, because right now the city is the one running it. So in answer to your question, Janet, the airport fund, which is on page 103, airport operations, is a separate issue, but the airport FBO is something that we can do without the need for looking at a regional operation for the airport, and that's something, and we may have a few folks interested. I think you said Butler Aviation is still interested. They're outfit out of Redmond. So that's one thing we can't do in the interim before we start talking about regional ownership, which, as someone said, is opening a can of worms trying to get other taxing jurisdictions involved in paying some money that they have a hard time finding themselves. So,
are there any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. This opens a public comment section of our evening together. And I'm going to begin with Lorna Davis from the Newport Chamber of Commerce. Lorna, where would you like to speak from? This chair, sir, needs to be vacated.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify or clear up a few speculative comments that have been made recently in some of the meetings about the chamber coming before the city council and asking for $50,000 for an economic development position or for funding for an economic development position. Some of you were on council last year and are well aware that a technical advisory committee was assembled, and it was formed for the purpose of guiding an outside economic opportunity analysis for the city. And the findings of that study included establishing a business growth and recruitment function within the city, but not housed at the city hall. And so in October, the council adopted the economic opportunity analysis and the associated policies. And council had hoped that TAC would have another two or three meetings to set forth a scope of services, job description of budget, and a preferred host organization for the function. And it was intended to be part of the city's budget discussion, which we're at now. It was also noted that it was unlikely that the city could fully fund this position, you know, be willing or able to, and so that would also be a discussion item. At that point, the TAC met, and the outline was complete, scope of services, we outlined that, job description, and then we tried to identify partners or potential funding partners. And the Chamber was the only organization that was prepared to co-fund and match that $50,000 to make that possibility and house that function. In recent meetings, some comments have been made that the Chamber is asking the city, and again, I think that some of those comments are rather misleading, or there people are laboring under the misapprehensions that we have come to you and asked for this money. Actually, the opposite is the case. The Chamber has been identified and asked, would you want to fund this? Would you want to house this? Can you do it? And we're a willing partner to that endeavor with the city, if the city so chooses, to go forward with the goals and policies that they adopted last fall. That's my comment. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. I like the comment, a willing partner. That's always nice. Let's go to Catherine. You're up next.
All right. Thank you. So I was before you a couple of weeks ago and handed out a sheet of paper about the management highlights that occur between the Oregon Coast Council for the Arts and the City of Newport, and the fact that we manage the Visual Arts Center and the Performing Arts Center. And in that document indicated, and you could see how for the management and the money that is given for the management of the two facilities, that the city has a return on investment of almost 700%, actually 684% was on that sheet. And also that OCCA, through the management of the two buildings, helps to leverage tourism development in excess of $769,000 for FY 11-12. What I'd like to do now is to present our management report. People just take that and pass one along. And I encourage you to look this over. This is our management report for FY 11-12. The front of the page is some more information about our managing of the two facilities, the contract management. The city provides 53% of what it takes in FY 11-12 to manage the two buildings, and OCCA provides the other 47% in earned or renewed or contributed income. When you have time, folks, I'd like for you to look this over. You know, the partnership that exists between OCCA and the city is really quite remarkable. And on this inside spread, what I've done here to give you a recap since 1985 of the types of initiatives that OCCA has done for your two buildings. Now, this is something that is OCCA generated. No city funds were used for this at all. So it starts back in 1985 through 88, where OCCA did fundraising of over $600,000 to eventually help bring the PAC into existence. You'll see HVAC timing system that's been an audit and installed, energy efficient lighting, etc., going on to our new website. So I encourage you to look this over. All of these initiatives that OCCA has done has come over the years to be almost $1 million. And that's what this little dot right here is, which is over $928,000 that has been added to these two buildings, your two buildings. So it's a really wonderful partnership that we have. So I encourage you to look at this later. The back page talks about upcoming improvements that are going to be happening to your buildings that are strictly OCCA initiated and funded. And then down below are the value added initiatives over the years. So anyway, thank you again for an opportunity to present this. This will give you an idea of what occurs and the wonderful things that can happen with this type of public-private sponsorship and partnership. And as you know, Oregon Coast Council for the Arts is a 501c3 nonprofit arts organization. And we appreciate your support in helping as we manage your two facilities. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Catherine, do you have a question?
I have a quick question.
Yes.
In the last year, the year before, we provided some funding through the tourism grant facilities funding source, and you made some improvements. But on a yearly basis, we provide you about $112,000 for management services. Can you just briefly say, you said it's you talked about where city money is not used. What specifically does that $112,000 go towards? Because that's one of the requirements that you have to the council is to report back as to the use of that money. And mm-hmm. perhaps you can briefly go over it now, but maybe at the council level you can give us some more details.
Sure, certainly. And some of that, David, here on this front page, the monies, that the $112,000, which is approximately 53% of what it takes in FY 11-12 to manage the two facilities, and we provide the balance. This goes for a variety of things, from the staffing, so that the facilities can be run, the utilities, insurance, all the various things that it takes to run the two.
Could you itemize that and review that for the city council itself? They really need to have that mm-hmm. report. So if you can show up at a city council meeting on a public commentary and do that review, it'd be very helpful to us all.
Yeah. And I mentioned that to Lorna for the chamber, because under the management agreements we have with both the chamber and OCCA, on a yearly basis, those reports should be coming to the council. Mm-hmm. And I know perhaps we haven't been asking as much as we should, but I think it's probably a good idea just on a yearly basis for you and Lorna to provide your reports. And Lorna did give us a report at the last council meeting, because I had brought that to her attention as well. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes.
And if I could add, this has actually come up at the next council meeting because their contract actually is past due and we do need to renew it.
Okay.
In that contract list, the duties or right. the expectations okay. of it. So perfect timing.
Thank you.
Well, timely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to hear now from Nyla. Welcome once again. You were here a couple of weeks ago.
I was. Yeah. And you were discussing your water budget, and that's what I want to talk about again. Our public works directors that made some...
Could you speak up a little more so we can hear you?
Our public works director made some representation that our water rates were like in the lowest 25%, I think, around the state. And I didn't get an opportunity to ask him where that information came from or what he based his statement on. I Googled this thing, and I found an article about water rates in 2010. They said that Albany is the fifth highest in the state with a total rate of $83, and it's $43 for water, and they're 25th in sewer. Lebanon is 17th with a water rate of $34, and their total is $92. Sweet Home is 10th with a $90 bill, which is a total of 38 for water and 11 for sewer, and then they have a stormwater rate. And those were the highest ones that they had listed. They're higher than Portland, which has $42 for water, Salem, Corvallis, which has $22 for water. These are 2010 rates. Eugene, Springfield, which had 19 for water, Lake Oswego, Wilsonville, Monmouth, West Lynn, and Kaiser, which had $14 for water. And so by the time he has my water rate at $159 a month, we won't be the highest in the state because evidently I think it was Manzanita I saw has some kind of sewer rate that's off the charts. But I don't believe that we're anywhere near the lowest 24-25 percentile in the state. So I think our public works director is probably doing a really good job of identifying problems, providing technical expertise, and performing at that level. I don't think he's a budget guy. I don't think you guys should listen to him on budget issues. I don't think he's qualified for that. I don't think he has credentials for that. I didn't get a chance to ask him those things. That's what I wanted to know at the last meeting. And you guys don't question him on that kind of stuff. And so I'm really troubled by the perspective on this problem. The normalization of the talk around this being an acceptable method of funding this problem and his refusal to have any kind of discussion about a bond measure, and I don't see anybody else bringing it up during the times when I have been here, except perhaps Mr. Allen brings it up from time to time.
I can speak to something.
And I'm really very concerned. Oh, and Mr. Springsteen, I think I remember, also talked about how you're going to be driving people out of this town who work here because they won't be able to afford. Going to be choosing between food and water.
Your comments are well taken. David has a response.
So the last agenda item, Nyla, tonight is actually going to be talking about putting together a task force of a couple council members and a couple budget committee members to look at alternative funding options moving forward into the future. Is something I brought up a couple meetings ago, and at the next council meeting, or perhaps the one in the second meeting in June, there's probably going to be something more formal done. And after starting next fiscal year, a subgroup of this budget committee and council will start working with staff and looking at those options, and perhaps coming back with some recommendations towards the end of the year. So. And our public works director took that seriously a couple weeks ago, and he is very much has stated that he wants to get engaged in that process along with our community development director and our finance director. So stay tuned. That's going to be a public process, and several of us on this committee, including Fred and Patricia, myself and Laura, are going to be on that task force.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope that is something that happens. I brought this stuff up a year ago.
I know you did.
And he did not engage at all at this level. And, you know, I contacted him before the tsunami debris showed up on the beach, told him I'd seen something on the news about it, that I encouraged him to try and coordinate with other governmental agencies and to develop some sort of strategy before that happened.
And he said to me that he had plenty of equipment, he could clean up anything once it hit the beach. Now, I realize that those two issues are not related, but it is indicative of his thought process, his willingness to listen to other people and what they have to say, and his risk assessment evaluation.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I have other questions.
Yes.
You mentioned your billing getting to be $159 a month. When do you project that happening?
I think it was at the end of his five-year plan. He had a spreadsheet and a grid. And when I went down through it, it would have been my basic rate. I have, I think it's, I'm sorry, I'm not good at this. I think they have a two-inch pipe feed, or it's a bigger than some people have. My house is built 1953, so it's a little bit bigger.
Right, I have the five-year scenario. That's about the approximate number. But again, this task force and the city council are going to be looking perhaps at some alternative funding options. So this five-year scenario that was projected last year that we've been working off of, that still is to be determined. Now, the rates may be set at a certain level this fiscal year, moving into next fiscal year. But after that, everything's on the table. And this task force and the council and the budget committee will start looking at alternative options so we can perhaps mitigate some of those increases over time. I can't say for certain, but I'm saying this five-year scenario that people keep referring to is still a work in process.
I sincerely hope that that happens because we've already implemented year two of five.
So anyways.
My rates have skyrocketed already.
So thanks for the comments, and we're going to be moving forward hopefully with this task force.
Thank you very much. Linda?
Some of you saw the nice sign. These are $104 a piece. They're heavy. There is a way to access this and change the schedule with a specific tool that only Fred has. He's sitting in the back here. So nobody can get in and get the schedule out. So these are $104. We need 42 of them. We need 37 posts. That budget is $5,400. I noticed in your recommendations from the subcommittee for the budget committee, they suggested, recommended the $90 for the Newport City Loop, and an additional $10,000 is in there. And I would suggest that that $10,000 be used for our signs, $5,400. And I have a proposal that we put together a City Loop advisory committee made up of a city council liaison, a city staff member, and then representatives from Nye Beach, Bayfront, South Beach, Art Deco, and Agate Beach. And if you, you know, if you need more members, you could have some at large positions. And their job would be to create a Newport City Loop information packet. That's one. And then to meet with front desk employees, managers, and lodging owners, that would be two. I would, to get people to use this, an example is this weekend. This last weekend, we actually had no vacancies in town. I haven't seen that for a long time. It was exciting. All of my units are rented. They also are rented this coming weekend for the marathon. I actually have some marathoners staying in one unit. But that has not happened for a very long time. We've had the no vacancy signs out. I talked to some folks who were staying in lodging facilities on the Bayfront, and they only used one of the vehicles of the four they brought, because if they moved their car, they would no longer have a place to park. Nobody advised them that they could ride the Newport City Loop at no charge. And the people who own that lodging facility well know that that loop exists. They were not advised of that, so they used one car to ferry people around. This is a group of 12 people, so I saw them on Sunday. What I'd like to suggest is that the lodging guests all be provided with their pass from the lodging facility. On that pass is the name of the lodging facility and the name of the person who is working the front desk who gives that that pass to their guest. That pass is given to the bus driver for their free ride. When they exit the bus, they ask for a transfer, and that transfer is an entry form, which they will then turn in when they use it as a transfer. And every week, for the 13 weeks of summer, there'll be a drawing for all those people who have turned in that entry. And they will be, I remember at city council meeting, Dean, you were talking about glass boats. Was that, what was the prize you guys were talking about? Was it not glass boats? Somebody got a glass boat out of the road or something? Is that what it was?
I think it was.
Yeah. Well, we all love those glass boats. We can't have enough of the ones that are made by the artists. If we can send a glass float to each of those people who wins on a weekly basis, and at the same time for that week, take all of the passes that have been turned in and have a drawing for that week and award to the employee whose name is drawn $25 cash so that they have some incentive to get those out there. The cost for that would be $750 for the weekly raffle, your supplies to print everything, and all the different itineraries, because I'd like to have each lodging facility have their own itinerary as to where they would send people, because we do have times when that loop is at rest for lunch. You have an hour layover or a half hour layover. You don't want to send somebody out there and have them sit for half an hour someplace. So you tell them exactly when to get on the bus.
And then we've got
a contract person for $3,400 to facilitate that. This is 18 days of contract time, and that totals to a $10,000 addition to the $90,000. I'll go ahead and drop this off with Peggy because the information is here. But I really appreciate the fact that you guys have really, really listened to the concerns and the needs of everyone, and that you are making such a really strong effort to make sure that we maintain that.
Yes, ma'am.
The three of us older folks lined up here. Is there a way to get these larger, just easier to see? Would that cause a greater cost?
That's $104 for that one, and I think your wind would pretty much ruin it. This is actually a little reduced from the actual schedule itself. Is it just reduced, maybe 10%? So it'll fit in there? Because our actual schedule is that size. It's a front and a back. The one thing that I would see doing is numbering the stops
bigger.
Well, just putting numbers on the boxes, and maybe we can do something to make it as big as possible. Okay. And I'm sure the transit would love to do
that. These are issues that aren't really pertinent to our discussion today. Yeah. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate that very much.
Do you want me to leave this here with you guys?
Yeah. Robert.
Yes, sure.
I just have a comment. I've always been a big supporter of shuttle over the years. And one of the things that struck me, I think the first meeting, Dr. Smith, you mentioned how many people have ridden the shuttle, and not a whole lot of hands went up. And I remember about 3 years ago when the shuttle funding was in jeopardy, I thought, well, it'd be kind of interesting to use some of the tokens that the shuttle has over the years used to facilitate the tourists using the bus. I understand that if somebody checks into a hotel property, they're given a voucher. Paper, and when they present it to the bus driver, what they're given in return is a plastic token. These plastic tokens are over 25 years old. They're from the old Newport Area Transit system. They happen to say Dungeness Crab Capital of the World, Newport, Oregon on one side, and Newport Area Transit bus token on the other. These are still being used after 25 years. And one of the things that bothered me about the shuttle a little bit is it's been under-promoted, and we've taken it for granted. So I'm not sure if I understand all of the benefits that have been mentioned regarding this incentive to ride, but certainly I think there's a lot more that could be done at the front lines by the hotel properties and their staff to promote the shuttle more strenuously and make it more effective. So I've got a few of these tokens. I thought I'd just pass them on down the line, and anybody that hasn't ridden a bus before, take a token, jump on the bus, see what you think about it. Maybe you have some comments that would be helpful to the process that we're considering over the next year. And not sure how it would affect our decisions tonight, but I think it would be good for everybody to write a show one time and think about it instead.
Very good. Thank you so much.
The recommendation for the committee would be that they meet in August and they make recommendations to the City Council about the continuation, the modification of the Newport City.
Very good. Let's move on to the Urban Renewal Agency budget on page 122. Urban Renewal. He's a great joke.
Yeah,
that's
good. Oh,
any commentary, questions on Urban Renewal? This is the funds are used to implement projects identified in the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan.
I do have the
David has a commentary here.
Derek.
Yes.
I'm just looking at page 123. The North Side District has been closed, but we still have that roughly 180,000 sitting in contingency. Just can you give us some idea of what that money is going to be utilized for or what it's still in the contingency for? I think that's just important to note since that no longer is an active district.
Right. My understanding is those funds are reserved for replacement of the city's HVAC system, City Hall HVAC system, and that they were intended to be expended this current fiscal year. However, they were adequate to cover that cost, and so they've been held in reserve to see if we can't match it up with some additional funding to do that in the upcoming fiscal year. As soon as that's the remaining debt, as you pointed out, that's the remaining and final debt obligation of Northside District. As soon as that debt obligation is met, that district will officially close. But it's no longer collecting a tax increment, so that's all been released to the other tax entities.
You're saying the obligation to complete the HVAC renovation?
The $180,000
okay.
debt, yes.
Okay.
Through an intergovernmental agreement between Northside
right.
District and the city.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Questions? Any other questions for urban renewal? Anyone?
On the south side, what's the $110,000 for land acquisition?
That's for right-of-way acquisition for the 35th and 101 intersection project and for the extension of Avenue.
Another question?
Yes.
Is there any potential of using the urban renewal money to extend infrastructure to the airport?
The yes, and that's the short answer on it. The there is a sewer extension project. I would see the phase two or phase three of the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan. So we will be moving into the phase two borrowing next year. That's why there's some additional money in there for legal services. Because the way that urban renewal works essentially is we borrow against our increment and we do it in three phases. We finish the phase one project. At this point, we're moving into phase two, so we'll do the borrowing. And then it would be a matter of discussions with the Urban Renewal Agency in terms of project priorities. Right now, the project priorities are centered around getting that 35th and 101 intersection mm-hmm. project going. Extension of sewer to the airport through urban renewal would likely be in the context of some form of development that may or may not be possible down there. I think that's when it would be timely. But yes, you could potentially use it for at least the sewer extension.
David?
Can I just have a possible
oh, yes.
clarification? Correct me if I'm wrong. The airport property is not within the district, so you can go to the boundary, but there's quite a bit of work to get to where.
No, that's an extra point. The airport property proper is not within the district.
Does it go to where the ARF building is?
It would take it right down to that. And that whole corridor, US 101 corridor, is in.
The problem is all the other stuff is on the south end.
Okay.
It's a mile long.
Yeah. Okay.
David?
So, Derek, you for the South Beach, you projected about a 7% increase in property tax over on a yearly basis to help meet our bond obligations in the future?
The projections were about 7%.
Okay. I'm wondering if that needs to be adjusted only because I'm looking at page 125. The actual current property taxes was just over $1.8 million. The proposed is $1.95 million. Mm-hmm. That two-year period actually is a 7% increase. So I'm just wondering, if it was 7% each year, then it should actually be more than $1.95 million. Is there a change in that projection, or is this just being conservative in what you're putting in the budget?
Well, what we're budgeting right now is the balance of what's left in the construction budget from the phase one borrowing. What we will be doing is having a conversation with Urban. We've already had a work session, but we will be having further conversations with the Urban Renewal Agency about making a minor amendment to the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan. And that will include updates to the projected revenue and debt service tables. We have worked through that. We have a couple of different growth projections at this point. One would be about 3.5%, which is very conservative. And then the other would be 6.5%, which I think is more or less consistent with what has occurred over the last 10 years. Under either of those scenarios, we are in a position to do our phase two borrowing next year.
Okay.
We've looked at that. The reason we're in a position to do phase two borrowing is that we did not fully leverage ourselves for the phase one projects. We only did about half of the borrowing that we were anticipating that we could do. So that's why we're in a position to do the first and borrow.
Okay, so that $1.95 million is just a placeholder. That could change as you got better numbers coming.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyone else? Yes, Chair.
Is Ash Creek really going to get finished in this fiscal year or next fiscal year? The ongoing project.
So,
it's my understanding that it's going to be constructed and hopefully completed or substantially completed this fiscal year.
Because in your notes, it's...
I met with the contractor today to get the project. I don't know if you've noticed, but the street is closed. Northwest Natural Gas is relocating the gas lines, and we will be starting with the contractor, not this coming Monday, but the following.
Chuck?
Yeah, I noticed in the narrative, they talked about that $280,000 that was saved from last year's budgeted request for the 40th to 50th Street Water and Sewer Project. That was a really nice savings. How do we arrive at that savings? Were we just overestimating the cost to do that, or that's a nice chunk of money to save? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there could be a little narrative on that.
Tim's probably better to respond to that question in terms of why exactly those cost savings were realized.
He was talking.
$280,000 in savings. Say, Tim, I was... noticing in your narrative there was the savings of $280,000 that you were able to realize in the 40th to 50th Street undergrounding project. I'm just curious how we were so lucky to get that much savings and then where the extra money is just deposited back into major funds?
The project is funded through self-use urban renewal, water, wastewater, at different percentages, and we bid the contract. It came in way below what our estimated costs were going to be. There were some change orders, because unfortunately the contractor left a lot of money on the table, and which is why we got such good pricing. But we simply transferred the money and the percentages back to the source funds that provided the revenue for that project.
So it really was a $280,000 savings in end result?
Yeah, or close to it, ended up transferring back.
With savings like that that are realized, is there ever an opportunity that I know from time to time, including last year, I think it's in the minutes for last year, that I made a comment that it would be nice to get a small portion of funds. Last year I mentioned $25,000 for minor street improvements in South Beach within the rural district to use for some of the deferred maintenance and shortcomings that some of the streets have over there. And I'm just wondering if money would be available in a small amount, and just using a rough number, $25,000, to help facilitate those sorts of things. And if the savings like this might open up the door to maybe take advantage of that, or apply that to that process. And if it's not readily available, since you're doing a minor amendment, is that a subject matter that could be addressed at the minor amendment time?
Yeah, let me speak to that one. Couple things. Just so you're aware, the 35th and 101 intersection project is not specifically just that intersection. It includes constructing a new intersection at 35th and 101, but also widening Ferry Slip and putting in bike and pedestrian facilities on Ferry Slip from essentially 29th all the way down to Ash Street. One thing we'd want to be cautious about is doing any kind of interim work when we have a big project like that that's going to land probably fiscal year 16, assuming we get the matching funds from the state, because it would be redoing that. Anything we do in urban renewal needs to be a project that's listed in the project plan, and so that's where it gets to the minor amendment. Those are discussions that can be had with your urban renewal agency in terms of expenditure of those funds. There'll be an opportunity to identify, clarify Phase 2 projects in the coming year.
Right. Yeah, I'm familiar with the STIP plan that reflects that 2016 build-out of et cetera. I've seen that pretty closely. Our bike head committee looked at that closely, and those are some really nice overall improvements, including bike head and others. But there are other areas besides that footprint that have some shortcomings that are within the district that I guess maybe when that time comes through the minor amendment process, we could bring those to light.
That's certainly a conversation could be had with your members.
Anyone else? Let's move on to page 85, the SDC charges.
Yes.
Anybody have any commentary in regards to the concurrent new construction fees?
Frank, on your cover sheet, you have $30,485 of the street SDCs that mm-hmm. go towards the John Moore improvements project that will yep. be linked with the Strongbridge project. Is $30,000 enough? Or will you also be using some of the room funds?
$30,000 is the maximum that's SDC eligible. That project's only 10% SDC eligible. And when I say what's SDC eligible, I just want to be clear that system development charges are fees that we collect from new development to offset the impact that development has on the city's infrastructure. And the capital price, therefore, you know, so that entire burden is not left on the ratepayers to cover. Some projects that we're doing in terms of our capital project list are largely growth-driven. I'll use the Lower Agate Beach tank, for example. That's 75% SDC because it's being sized much larger than is needed to accommodate our immediate our current population. It's being sized to accommodate future growth. Ditto when it comes to upsizing water lines and things of that nature. The John Moore Road project, that intersection already serves, you know, substantial population. There's very little growth driving the need to make those changes. That's why it's only 10% eligible. Is that
fair? And then the other question I have on the cover sheet was the $180,000 of storm drainage mm-hmm. SDCs to Hebron Bridge. How will that just go into the pot and for future projects, or is there plans to utilize that money within this fiscal year?
Those would be programmed for use at that intersection because that intersection project is largely a stormwater-driven project. And again, those numbers are put in there assuming that project moves forward and those SDCs are paid. If those SDCs are paid, certainly we're not going to be spending those funds for that purpose. I would also point out, and I put it in that summary, I want to be real clear about it, water and wastewater SDC funds are exhausted. What I mean by that is that the funds that are programmed in there for transferred capital projects, in this case the Lower Agate Beach storage tank and the Big Creek lift stations, those funds are revenue estimates in terms of what would be collected next fiscal year, and those transfers would only happen at the end of the fiscal year, and they may be at that number or they may be less depending upon what's actually collected through SDCs. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Any other commentaries? Yes.
I'm just curious, the Walgreens project and the Fred Meyer remodel that mm-hmm. took place this fiscal year, did they had a nice impact on the SDCs?
The Fred Meyer expansion paid SDCs. The Walgreens did not pay any SDCs. Walgreens SDCs would have been in the amount of about $68,000 were they required to. However, the city does have some fairly generous credits. And those credits zeroed out all of the SDCs for the Walgreens development. And I think this gets back to the discussion I think Councilor Allen was talking about in terms of funding infrastructure over the long term. And I would expect, I think the council is going to be holding a work session to discuss SDCs. They're going to take a hard look at the credits and make sure that they're leading to equitable results. But to the point, Walgreens didn't pay any SDCs.
So they were just given a credit.
They were credited because of the old auto body and dealership improvements that were on that property.
And then just to kind of throw a little spin on this shovel again, when Fred Meyer did their remodel, their SDCs that they paid, I understand they couldn't supply all the parking that they needed to satisfy the requirements of the remodel. And it's my understanding that the mitigation for that was for them to build a transit shuttle at their Fred Meyer site to more to access that shuttle service in a more functional manner. And I guess that would be just yet another reason, non-tourism related perhaps, but another reason why that shuttle is important. It's kind of interwoven into the fabric of the community. I think that's a good example.
To be clear, the shuttle and the bus stop that was constructed by Fred Meyer was not SDC related. That had to do with zoning and the fact that they did not have all of the parking that they needed when they did the expansion. Therefore, they asked for what we call an adjustment to the parking standard, and their mitigation that they brought to the table, there were a number of things they brought to the table, one of which was formalizing the location of that bus stop and getting it away from the main activity area on that property.
Anyone else on the commentary? Let's move on to the transient room tax on page number 105.
I'll go ahead and take that one. And the room tax is based on revenue estimate of $2.3 million. This is the same amount that we estimated last year and the year prior to that. Revenues from room tax just have been flat for the next couple of years, so we're going to continue with $2.3 million. There's only one major change from prior years. That has been discussed part of this, and that is the elimination of the payments to for the transit. That is based on for primary two reasons. One, the fund just simply could not absorb that cost. There is not sufficient funds for that. The second one is that the amount of usage by tourists is based on some information about from transit is probably in the 2.6% range. I have asked our attorney whether it's appropriate to use the promotion and marketing monies of room tax for this type of service, and the response was no, that it is not.
Jim, that was based on the information that it was what? 2.6% use was?
No, I just told him it was low.
Okay, I guess the question I have is, in the past, for other funds like the airport fund, the rec fund, if a percentage of the use is tourism related, even though it's not fully tourism related, we have, as a council, which we have the authority to do, calculated a percentage in which the tourism related portion of the room tax can go towards that. So my question is, and perhaps Lauren didn't answer that as our city attorney, I'd like to find out if some of that use for the transit loop is used by tourists, whatever that percentage is, maybe it's 10, 20, 30%, I don't know, why can we not utilize some of the funding towards the transit loop on a percentage basis like we do for the other funds in which we do that? And I think that all or nothing approach that the city attorney advised us on is inconsistent with what we've done in the past. So I'd like some clarification from our city attorney on that, because that is not the practice we've been utilizing over the past several years.
I did not ask her about other uses and other funds that is related to the transit. Tourism means economic activity resulting from tourists, and a tourist is a person who travels from their home community to the community that's more than 50 miles away. And they're, based on the information, the ridership, they said that the tourists are not heavy users of the bus system, therefore even if a tourist use the bus on occasion, the bus system likely does not have a substantial purpose for New Jersey.
I understand, but that advice is inconsistent with what we actually do right now with some of the other funds. So I'm a little bit curious as to why we're getting inconsistent advice from our city attorney, or perhaps they're not aware of how we put other things into practice. So again, if 10 or 15 or 20% of the transit loop is used by tourists, that's 15 or 20%. So why can we not utilize then 20% of the funding coming out of the room tax fund, like, again, we do for other types of activities in our city budget?
Well, based on the information, it's only 2.6%.
Well, but is that number just something that was put together last minute? Because I'd like to get some more I'd like to find out more clearly from either the transit folks, or maybe they haven't tracked their ridership enough, but I would be curious to find out exactly what number of folks, or on a percentage basis, are tourists that use that transit loop.
Right now, it's conservatively, it's 2.6.
Okay, well, I've heard some differences of opinion on that, and I guess before I make a policy decision, it'd be nice to have more hard numbers in front of me, because this is an important decision, and I have a difficulty making important decisions with a lack of concrete information. I'm not disputing your numbers, but I've heard differing numbers as well.
And when I'm trying to weigh the information, it's good to have more clarity than less clarity on these kind of decisions. That's all I'm saying.
Based on their 2012 ridership, which they have a month-by-month ridership, and if you look at the non-tourist months, which are eight months, and you take that average, a number of ridership, and then you apply that over the busier months, and then you see that increase over the busy months, you know, you can assume conservatively all those additional riders are tourists.
Okay.
And when you do that approach, it's 2.6%. Now, I would not think that it's quite that high, but just to be conservative on tourism part, that it's 2.6.
The council needs to make a policy call, because what I'm saying is perhaps 2% is minimal and you really don't want to go down the route. But let's say that actually the numbers show it's maybe 10%. Then why can't we not at least divert 10% of the room tax towards that? That at least lessens the amount that's coming out of the general fund. And I think with the recreation fund and or the airport, we actually have, on a percentage basis, used room tax that is actually maybe 10 or 15% of the total amount. So again, I don't think 10 or 15% is out of the ordinary based on what we've done. Maybe 2.5% is really low, but once you're getting into maybe double digits, like 10 or 15%, perhaps if more concrete information comes in the future, perhaps we can utilize some of the room tax for that purpose. At this point, I just think it's an issue worth still exploring, even though we've gotten that advice from the city attorney.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Yes.
I hadn't intended to begin my question this way, but I will, given what David just pointed out. I think our process that we've used for determining whether we have a bus or not is even more flawed than perhaps, you know, random uses of percentages. Here's how I got there. A couple of months ago, we were made aware of the fact that the room tax fund may only have $75,000 available for the bus. Shortly after that, we were in session and found out that, in fact, there had been no money allocated for the bus. And yet, I don't know of any single council member who had been alerted to that prior to that night. From there, we went to the premise that the bus may not qualify for room tax fund because of its low ridership, and that we'd need to ask the city attorney that. That was a question that was out there several weeks ago. To say that I'm a bit disappointed to not have that answer until tonight is really stretching for me. I mean, it's like, that would have been nice to know 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. But regardless of that, because I didn't have any of that information, I went and started looking through the budget. And what I discovered is that we've transferred $1.3 million from the room tax fund to general fund. That's an increase of $725,000 from last year. Of that $725,000, $572,320 is going to the airport, which is an increase of $516,000 to the airport. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out, why can't I justify a $90,000 bus that hauls tourists, and yet I can increase the amount to the airport to the tune of $500,000 without any information whatsoever to justify what that has to do with the room tax fund? And I asked that question, in all fairness, a few weeks ago. I said, do we have information on how many tourists actually land in Newport, stay at hotels? There was no answer to that. And yet, for some reason, we're now picking on the bus loop and putting an expectation on them that apparently, as David has been describing in a little different manner, has not been applied to other uses of the transient room tax. And I haven't even gotten into, and won't get into, the reasons why I think it's a dumb idea to get rid of a city bus. So at the appropriate time, whenever that is, I'll be making a motion, a formal motion, to add the bus back in, as described, $90,000, plus some money to help promote the use of the bus. And I would also go so far as to say I'm hoping that, as Chuck suggested, that
some of the hotels around here will begin getting serious about promoting the bus, because when I travel, the first thing that happens when I walk in to a happening city is I see exactly what's available for transportation options. I don't walk in and find out that I have to drive all over Newport to get someplace. I see schedules for buses, schedules for subways, schedules for maps, for bike paths, whatever. That's what we need to be doing more of.
I have another question. Jim, I have another question on the room tax fund for you. Getting away from this issue, all I'll say is there's a policy choice. Perhaps the council needs to look more closely on how we're calculating percentages. And we have the ability to do that under the actual room tax ordinance that was adopted several years ago. But Jim, getting to page 105 again, under capital outlay for $481,000, it doesn't have a clear description of what those different capital outlays are. Can you or David at least give me some sense, or the committee some sense as to what those amounts are going towards?
Yes, that's the money for the tourism facility grants that we've already awarded, or that we have to spend. There's some money to OCCA,
okay,
the Sea Lion Dock, OMSI, and then there's an additional $100,000 that has not been granted. And
okay,
so it's sitting in there in case the council wants to go through another process to release those funds.
Okay, and Jim, the $85,000 for the transit loop, was that the amount shown under professional technical services? I'm seeing it's...
In past years?
In the past year. I'm seeing under fiscal year 13, $85,000 for professional technical services, and then I don't see anything this year. Was that what that was for? On page 105, right under materials and services, was that where the 85?
Yeah, I think that is.
I mean, that's the only thing that matched up when I was looking at it.
Yeah.
It just seemed an odd place to put the money for the transit loop there. But anyway.
Jim, what's the definition for capital? And the reason I ask that is that one of the things when our committee was going through and looking at things in the preliminary sense, we found all those capital expenses and we put those in there as a possible way to find some money, because there's only, I think, 10 things in the budget that have any justification. They're all vehicles except for the water purification system. And in a response you wrote in an email, you mentioned those things you just mentioned, the grants. Well, my definition of capital is a tangible asset of more than 5 years duration and $5,000 in value. And I know people have other definitions, but to say a grant as a capital kind of struck me as odd, and I was surprised to see that. So what does the city use as a definition of capital?
I'll defer to David. He's the one that...
And I didn't hear a lot of that, but you asked what our definition of capital is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't hear real well back here. I think it's pretty much what you said. If it's got a useful life longer than 1 year, if it costs more than $5,000, with many exceptions, then that's capital. And in some cases, if we don't know what grant money is going to be spent on, but we know it's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars, the initial placement of those expenses would undoubtedly be in capital, because that's where the money is likely to be spent. If, in fact, it becomes something else, major repairs or renovation or something, it would be charged correctly, even though we may have budgeted it somewhere else, because at the start, we may not know where it properly belongs to be budgeted.
Even though you're intending to give it to someone else,
it's still an expense in governmental accounts.
And so it's still a capital expense,
is.
Even though someone else takes
yes,
control of that money.
Okay.
Quick question.
Thank you very much, Alec.
Jim, you've got $172,500 on your services by other government agencies. And it looks like the year before it was carried as services contracts.
Yeah, that $172,000 is the agreement that we have with the chamber to provide promotion services.
Well, the other point there is that on the room tax, there's no cover sheet or no descriptive cover sheet. But there's a good connection at that
point. Good note, thank you.
We're ready to move on to the general fund non-departmental. Is that understanding that?
Yeah, you want to take a break now and do that after, or should I go ahead?
I'm going straight through. I'm going to be done by 8:30. You bet.
All right.
Can we ask a question about it for you?
We'll take a 5 minute break. As a request, we'll take a 5 minute break. Let's have a break.
It's right here, Robert. Page 45. It's at the back of it. It's the back of the general fund for the miscellaneous expenditures. And it also shows what the revenue. So it shows the revenue. So that page shows all the revenue. And it shows miscellaneous expenditures like transfers. It's kind of the catch all. It's 9.5% for the city, and then you tack out 1% for the state. And that's not that much different than the city.
Counselor Allen,
yes.
Did you hear about the city pledge of corporate?
What about it? I know about it, but what happened?
They're proposing a 4% tax on every bicycle. So that it would cover corporate bicycle tax and stuff?
Yeah.
So are you? Yeah. That's a good place for grants.
I give up trying to figure them out.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out bicycle boxes. Because I've heard of bicycles here. I'm trying to figure out if it's not enough room for me in the car, I'd be authorized. I just don't feel like being broke. But on the other hand, I have bicycles.
The gavel is banging, folks. The call for the animals to get back in the cages, please. All the animals back in the cages.
Is it still out there?
Yeah, I left it on. I got the scratch.
I didn't say anything I probably won't regret. And if I did, so what?
So what?
Let's get back to our format, please. David, you're up.
Okay. I haven't done this for the last 2 years.
Everybody, please.
Can you turn it around?
Yes, please.
Oh.
Or you can just look at this. I thought best on this.
Where are we?
Oh,
I see. We have
pictures
here.
Yeah, in case none of this works.
All right.
This shouldn't take 10 minutes, but I think I have failed to get across the importance and the delicacy and the fragility of the general fund, and this is the best way I know to do it.
And so I'm going to try and go through this. 19 years ago, I went to my first public agency, first public organization. It was a school district in Idaho. And the auditor there was a wonderful woman who explained something to me that I'd never really thought about, and I don't think we're thinking about it enough here. And I think it's important that we do. And if I don't give some of the details here, we'll certainly get to the key element, which is no matter how you look at an organization, how it charges things, how it buys things, everything ultimately becomes cash. Now, you can have 50-year-old infrastructure that you haven't spent any cash on, but as we're seeing right now, infrastructure becomes cash. It becomes a requirement against cash. And whether you borrow or whether you do it from operating revenues or wherever you might take it from, 50-year-old infrastructure, a 40-year-old building, eventually requires cash, and the question is, where does it come from? And the cash never comes from taxing yourself, from allocating indirect costs, both of which we do, and it's necessary because those are budgetary or what I call soft revenues, and you have to have them to balance the budget, but there's not a dollar's worth of cash in it. And so I've been ever thankful to her for explaining that to me, because I never really thought about it like that. We have three funds in the city that have a cost center called non-departmental. And by that I mean it has revenues and expenses that cannot be associated with a specific objective. So in the general fund, we have the major one. All this year, for the first time, and should probably have been done for some time, all of the revenues that come into the general fund go into non-departmental. Because with the exception of the municipal court, nobody in the general fund pays for themselves. Doesn't even come close. After municipal court, which actually contributes a little bit of money to all the others, the library is the closest, and it contributes roughly $300,000 out of $1 million. Everybody else is totally dependent upon basically property taxes, and way down the list after property taxes is franchise taxes, and after franchise taxes is everything else, and they're in the tune of $100,000 to $150,000. And if it weren't for the $5.8 million that we're budgeting this year for property taxes, the general fund could not balance. You may hear discussions tonight about taking money from the general fund. It doesn't have any. And I'm going to show you why in just a minute. Now, I'm giving you a lot of numbers, but I'm just going to point out two or three. And you can see them here. The only reason we have a general fund that is in balance is because of a fairly liberal estimate of our beginning fund balance. You'll notice, and I'm sorry this is green, I didn't want to show up like this, but you can see it on your handout. You'll notice we've never had a $2 million beginning fund balance. We do this year. That is not terribly conservative. What if it comes in at 1.9? We start the year at 200,000 less than we need in the general fund to balance the budget in the first place. Am I comfortable with that? No. Are we likely to do it? Yes. And not in defense of myself, I can sometimes be too conservative. We only estimated $1.2 million beginning fund balance, and this year we ended up with 1.8. Now, so I was 50% off. That's very unusual, but what we had was a record high in delinquent property taxes, which you should never count on. They're delinquent by nature, but they're fundamentally something you can't count on. And the franchise taxes, I failed to go back enough years to see what the high might have been. And the high was actually $900,000. We budgeted $700,000. We collected $800,000. And so I was off by about $300,000 in those two categories. That's unusual, and I've learned from that. It is still the best thing to do is to estimate a little too conservatively and come in higher in your resources than estimate aggressively and come in low. And I hope that we never do that. Notice here, this central arrow, it says 66.5%. Two-thirds, and only two-thirds, of the revenue that comes into the general fund comes in the form of cash, earned and received during the year. That's all. So what you come in with basically, six, that's what, 16, that's one-sixth. Mm-hmm. You come in with one-sixth, if you come in with one-sixth, and we're saying that next year we will, and you have two-thirds that should come in, almost all of it, property taxes. Property taxes are fairly stable. They also don't grow very much. And 3% is an aggressive stance to take towards property taxes. Notice all of the services provided. To greatly oversimplify, that's what everybody else, Tim Gross and everybody else, paid for me. And for people like me who are overhead people. And they paid for me because somebody's got to. Because guess what would happen if we didn't allocate these indirect costs? We lose $1.3 million. And the general fund is out of balance. But that's not cash. There's no cash in this. This is a budgetary or soft transfer of money, transfer expenses to people who may, organizations who may or may not be able to afford it. So yeah. What you have here, you notice that's almost exactly the same, 1/8. And so you got 1/4, it's more than that, you got 1/3 is what it will turn out to be, that either you have to bring in with you, or you have to tax others so that you can balance your budget. Now, how comfortable are you as an organization with a general fund that only about 2/3 of it is actually cash coming in, and why would you take any of that cash? Yes, sir.
Yeah, you just said 3%, and I thought at one point, not today, you mentioned budgeting it at 2.5%.
You budgeted it at 2.75.
So that's the actual number you use.
That's the one we use this year because notice it's a little on the conservative side. Yes, sir, Dave.
So, David, you mentioned the soft money, the services provided coming from other funds.
Yes.
Isn't that based on a cost allocation study that a prior council commissioned a while back? And aren't we basing those percentages on that? Because I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, and there's some former council members in the audience and on the budget committee, that was something that I think that council wanted to make sure happened, which was the general fund needed to charge other funds for use of those services. So I remember that was a policy that was put in place several years ago, and the goal was to determine some percentages that were objective and reasonable in making those services provided for transfers happen. Is that correct?
It's partially correct.
Okay.
That study done in 2009 should have been updated annually, and it was not. I have updated it over the Christmas holidays as best I could. That study said that the indirect costs that should be allocated throughout all of the funds and all of the organizations within the city are $2.2 million. We've never allocated more than $1 million. This year we're allocating more than $800,000. Ask Tim Gross something how well he'd like to have his indirect costs doubled. And so we've selectively chosen to implement part of it. That is probably fine. Because the fact is, nobody could absorb $2.2 million in costs.
But David, it's not anything unusual. Other cities actually use this approach as well.
That's correct.
Okay, so this is not unique to Newport.
Oh, no.
I know, I just want to get that on the record.
No, it's not unique to Newport. The interesting thing is, and I have to single out Tim Gross because he picks up 2/3 of these indirect costs simply because of the size of his funds. And you have 4 or 5 allocation methods, but the size of the fund being taxed is certainly one of them, as is FTE and other things. The issue becomes, though, nobody in the general fund is taxed. So our new city manager, pro tem, in the library, doesn't see a dollar of tax for my services. Now, that's kind of interesting. Ultimately, it would be a wash in the general fund, but again, if somebody has to reduce their budget, and somebody else doesn't, it ought to be a conscious decision on the part of the council. And in this being my third year here, I've never brought this to the council. It took me 2 years to figure out how to break down, analyze, and understand what was a very sophisticated study and method of applying costs. And it's a horrendous job, and yet it should have been done every year, so I tried to catch up on that. But I didn't want to get into all of that because I want you to see this. This is your general fund. You have less than $9 million that come into cash in the general fund from operating revenue that year. You have to bring in a fair amount of money in the vicinity of $2 million, and you have to tax others, and this isn't cash at all.
The other part of the cost center 1900, which is just a non-departmental, in other words, it doesn't fit in the library, it doesn't fit in finance, it doesn't fit in police, it doesn't fit anywhere, is expenses. But you see the expenses way down here are only $1.4 million. You've got $12 million in resources, cash, money that came in at the start of the year, and the soft money, the budgetary money. So 12 million minus 1.4 million is 10.6 million, and that's what's available for everything the general fund has to do, and 60% of that is covered for public safety alone. So I guess what I'm saying is this. Please, when you start getting requests from the general for the general fund to subsidize, further subsidize operations, ask if you have the cash to do it. Not if the general fund is of sufficient size. It is not a conservative general fund. It is wholly dependent upon actually having $2.1 million in the bank when we start. And it shows that we're going to start with $2 million and end with $1 million, which is $500,000 less than we'll need next year.
Check the pen.
By city council policy to even have next year. Where does that $500,000 come from? And when you look at it like that, then $40,000 or $50,000 or $90,000 or $100,000 becomes a whole lot bigger issue than just less than 1% or $12 million. It's not that simple. There's no flexibility to speak of with public safety, with city administration. There's almost nothing in the budget that lends itself to, let's say, $200,000 of additional transfer out of a fund that, in my mind, is precarious right now. And I ask you sincerely, say, before you say, well, we'll just have the general fund cover it, ask how it's going to do it when it's only going to receive $8.8 million. And I don't have the answer to it. And as I told Ruth, Patricia, and Mark, and Ralph, sorry about that, that if there was an attempt to take money from the general fund, I would oppose it. Because the general fund is by far the most critical fund we've got. It's not the most precarious, but it's the one that has the most draws against it, potential and real. And in my mind, it's the one that can least afford it. And I think Tim would agree with me. Those entrepreneurial funds are designed and designated as funds that stand on their own. And there's an issue, as far as I'm concerned, of even trying to do anything else, whether it's $90,000 for transit or $50,000 for economic development or whatever it is, above and beyond what's in there, let alone speaking of half a million, $750,000 that might help Tim and the obvious infrastructure needs we've got, but the general fund isn't one to do it. I mean that, and I believe that sincerely, Laura.
All right. If the goal is to put the bus loop back in, where do we take the money? Because it just, I feel, arbitrarily asked. So, and that $90,000 was there last year, so how do we put it back in?
You can do one of two things. You can do one of three or four things. You can simply direct that it happen. Now, to identify out of which accounts it should happen is, as far as I'm concerned, way beyond the responsibility or even the knowledge of a governing body. It is not, however, say, budget officer, restore $100,000. Where he does it is his responsibility to do it once the city council agrees that that's what's going to happen.
So we would basically say to you, whenever a motion is involved or whatever, we want that put back in, and then you go through.
And then you find where. By you, I mean city, the budget office,
right,
and the
right,
something
right,
like that.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
the team.
You find where it is inappropriate and hugely time-consuming to go through and say, department head, take $25,000 out of your budget. Department heads know their budget far better than anybody else. It's coordinated with the budget officer. And where that $100,000 would come from would have to be something, or should be something, that's internal. But it should happen. The other issue is, and I didn't hit upon this,
Based upon that $8.7 million of cash, the contingency is tiny. It's 2%. Right. That's $169,000.
Right.
We have less than $100,000 in contingency.
Right.
We could take the $90,000 from contingency that is already 3/5 of what it should be, and then you have no contingency. To have a general fund without any contingency is...
Well, it's stupid.
I can't even explain.
Yeah, it's stupid not to have a contingency. But I guess my thing is that I'm perfectly open to just directing you and the finance group to find that $90,000. And I guess I have a very, very difficult time with people who are not experts in finance trying to say what to do. It really bothers me that this has come up. And I guess my feeling is that we should trust you and the finance group to do your job.
And I don't want to get into that.
No, but
what I'm saying is, say that you're going to restore it. I mean, there appear to be only three issues tonight. Economic development, $90,000, $50,000, $40,000, or zero. Transit, $90,000, $100,000. And infrastructure. At some stage, before June 17th, assuming we adopt a budget on June 17th, we'll have to decide. And I strongly recommend that before we leave tonight, because if we don't have an approved budget, we will not be able to adopt the budget by June 17th. You simply say, we're going to have $50,000 for economic development. I'm making all this up, but not 90. You're going to restore transit services or some portion of them. You're not going to be able to easily take $100,000 out of the general fund. And I prepared an at-length response to the group's basically suggesting that there's $1.5 million of money floating out there. There's $200,000 or less, and only after we talk to the department heads to see if they can spare it. That doesn't change anything. You can direct the budget officer to prepare something and approve it tonight in the approved budget that says we are restoring all or part of transit, because that seems to be the hot item, and economic development may not be tonight. And it's his responsibility to do that once the city council says that's what they're going to do. It is, again, inappropriate, time-consuming, wasteful, and almost every other negative word I can think of to say where it's going to come from.
Well, I don't think it's inappropriate, David, to if there's programs in there that we feel shouldn't be in there, to recommend that the funding be taken away.
And I hope that I can have a response to that, because I'm prepared, but I don't think that's appropriate tonight. But I'd be happy to discuss it with you again.
I think we have just as much right to recommend things to take away as we have to recommend things to add, and it has to be a balance.
Yeah, and that's something we could probably be talking about 2 years from now. But what you certainly can do is say, this is what we want restored, and how you do it is up to you, and let us come back and say, it is now restored, and here's what we had to do as a result. I think that's perfectly appropriate, and it's done fairly quickly and efficiently, and in my mind, the way it should be done.
So I think it should be a joint effort, and we should have your input, and we work together on this way.
I hope we all could work together. I mean, that's what we should be doing.
So in making the recommendations tonight, they are recommendations to the city council. The city council will decide and have that discussion there as to where you want to pull money back and forth. All right, I understand that, and that's fine. I guess we all understand that. David had a commentary.
So, Laura, in response to your comments, it's a balancing act, and I think if we're just focusing on certain discrete issues like the transit loop, $85,000, we can make a recommendation as an entire budget committee to say, restore the transit loop, utilizing general funds, because apparently
we
can make that recommendation as a budget committee to restore the funding for the transit loop, and as a companion to that, we can make a recommendation that the economic development money under the city council budget, $40,000, and that money reserved for the economic development position, which is in non-departmental, may not be a policy choice that this committee recommends. So you basically have almost
$80,000 coming out of that economic development earmark going towards the transit loop. We can make that recommendation, and that makes his life a lot easier in trying to find the money for the transit loop. Now, I'm not
I thought he just said.
No. He did say that, but I disagree with David's analysis on that because we can make recommendations on where to take money out of the general fund. Now, that we can do that. Now, we're not supposed to get into the micromanaging at the account level, but if it's a policy decision, again, economic development, and I'm speaking about the $40,000 that's in the council budget for things that come our way over the course of the year, and that $50,000 that is earmarked on page 46 at the very top, that was put in there because the council earlier this year said, we're interested in promoting economic development. Based on that policy choice, the city manager and the finance director put some money in the proposed budget. But now that we're hearing that maybe that isn't a priority, maybe the transit loop is a priority, we can change that policy choice right now as a recommendation to the council, and then next month, the council can adopt that recommendation and actually do that one-on-one change. And that is something we can do, and I think that's not inconsistent with what David said, but I think what David was saying is, you shouldn't be doing that to everything. There are certain things you can do, and this is a policy choice. So again, I will differ with you on that one point, David, that we can do that one-on-one corresponding change between economic development and the transit loop because the numbers pan out.
And it's a fine line we're walking here. To me, having been doing this for 20 years, the governing body says, we're not going to fund economic development. What if it wasn't in just two accounts, but it was 15?
But it's not this time.
But it could be.
But it's not.
What I'm saying is, drop economic development, add the transit, take care of it.
It does. It takes care of it.
And you're down at the account.
And it's very simple and straightforward. That's not to say that there couldn't be more complicated on some other issues, but on this issue, David, it's straightforward and simple, and it takes you out of the loop, and you don't have to worry about it. The council's
being out of the loop on finance.
But David, you're not hearing what I'm saying is. You don't have to make that decision because the council will make that policy choice perhaps next month when it says we want the transit loop, and if we're going to find money in the general fund, it's going to come out of economic development, which is what we made as a policy choice earlier this year.
Right. And I don't fundamentally disagree with you.
We have always in the past made recommendations as to where we could possibly find some money. We've done that for the last few years. So here's the situation. Remember, everything we do tonight is a recommendation. The city council, they are the ones who make the decision.
Exactly.
If they vote not to accept any of our recommendations, and they have done that in the past, fine. Okay? We're just doing our job to try to assist them. So, with this in mind, I would like to take care, before we add other motions, these are statewide demands. Can we take care of these three motions before we get to our other, just so we make sure that we get it right?
The first motion is actually going to have to be based on some preliminary motions, Robert, because whatever we approve as a budget is going to be based on what the recommendations are from this budget committee as far as perhaps funding transit and not funding something else.
You mean to say
we
don't have the ability to fill in these points tonight?
Peggy, motion one was you kept it blank for a reason, and perhaps explain that reason.
Well, David, explain it.
This what?
We have, and I need to distribute them. I distributed the first one 2 weeks ago. We have two addenda. The addenda are based upon various things, errors, mostly mine, other things that needed to be cleared up. And that addenda, number one, we distributed 2 weeks ago last week. There's another one tonight. The net effect of those addenda should be zero. And so what we've got right now, before anything you do tonight as a recommendation, is a budget of $54,399,591.
Say that
slower.
Say that slower.
I'm sorry.
It chips off your tongue.
The total city of Newport budget, as proposed, is $54,399,591. There are two addenda. the net effect of those addenda should be zero, because everywhere we increased expense, we had to decrease something else. This was something that was done internally, largely mistakes I had made, and actually Ralph had pointed out a couple of them, in which the liability insurance and a couple of funds I had simply forgotten to get in there. They're in there. So, but addenda in a budget this complex is not unusual. And so those addenda need to be identified. The net change should be zero. Anything else you do tonight as a recommendation for your proposed budget. So let's say you say take out the economic development and you add the transit, and the net effect is only $10,000, then the number I just gave you would be 10,000 higher. And that's why we don't have a number in there.
All right, so we do the other proposals first.
Yes.
Yes, let's do the other proposals first. Mark?
Okay. Well, based on what I was saying earlier, as well as what we just heard from David and some other discussion.
Keep it short, I'm tired.
Before making this motion, I first want to say that I realize that there may very well be better fixes for the city bus next year. We've heard the discussion about whether it should be coming from room tax or not. The way I drafted this motion was basically a motion to approve for continuing support of the city bus loop. I move to approve the city bus loop budget in the amount of $100,000 using the room tax fund or other appropriate fund for the city of Newport 2013-2014 fiscal year.
All right, may I have a copy of that for Peggy, please? If we give that to Peggy. We have a motion before the floor to supplement funds for the bus loop. Do we have any pertinent discussion on that motion?
Second on the motion.
Second on the motion.
Discussion.
Do we have any pertinent discussion?
I do. I have trouble increasing the amount from what was formerly budgeted. And in part, that's because I know that the county is working on more publicity, and they are actually hiring another person in the transit department. So I would be reluctant to add in that $10,000, not knowing what the county is going to be doing, because I think that would be collaboration. And I think there's also potential for reducing the routes in the non-tourist months. So I would keep it at 90.
Mark, do you want to change that motion?
I hadn't really thought of the collaboration aspect. I was responding simply to the need and what we discussed earlier. Assuming my second would approve, I'd be willing to go for the original.
Loud and clear, so everybody can hear.
I'd be willing to set it at last year's amount of $90,000.
Peggy, did you get that one?
Uh-huh.
It was budgeted originally at 90,000.
Would you please, Peggy, read the motion?
No, we're.
I need to know if my second will approve it.
All right, Peggy's going to read the motion, everybody. Here we go.
Mark made a motion, or amended his motion, to basically that he's willing to set aside the $10,000 and go forward with the original $90,000.
Okay. Yeah, can you read the motion again that Mark said, because I just want to...
Could you read Mark's motion?
The entire motion.
Okay. No, he wrote it down. Thank you. He moved to approve a city bus loop budget in the amount of $100,000 using the room tax fund for the city of Newport 2013-2014 fiscal year, and that motion was amended to remove the $10,000 that was initially proposed for.
That wasn't.
No, that's not.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, but read it.
Yeah, well, sorry, here we go.
Read it again.
Read it, Mark.
I'm not saying Peggy's not capable.
Read it, Mark.
She can't read my writing. And I'll do it with the amended amount. I move to accept the city bus loop budget in the amount of $90,000 using the room tax fund or other appropriate fund for the city of Newport 2013-2014 fiscal year.
That motion has been read. Do we have a second again?
Second.
Seconded. The motion has been made and seconded. All in favor?
perhaps some a quick discussion?
Yes, another quick discussion.
I'd like to at least say that if that's going to be the motion, as part of the recommendation for staff, meaning you, David, as finance director, I'd like to at least see when you're looking to find that money to pay for the transit loop, perhaps look at the economic development number under the city council and mayor budget, and perhaps look at the economic development position under non-departmental, based on, I think, what I've heard, not only at the council level, but at the budget committee level, which obviously would have to still be approved by the council, but I think that might be a place to at least start looking, unless some other people feel there's other places. But at least that gives you an idea of where maybe you can pull the money out of to have that net zero balance.
I would support Councilman Allen's recommendation.
So that's just, that's just part of the discussion recommendation, David.
Very good. Anyone else, please? Yes, Mark.
My reasoning for adding the language or other appropriate fund reflects the fact that several discussions about not digging into the weeds.
Very good.
We've had some things that David mentioned about we should be looking into it. That was designed to just simply open it up. I wasn't trying to set up a competition between various funds.
You're not.
Very good.
It was only a recommendation as part of the motion.
We're in business. All right, all in favor of the motion, raise your hands, please. Peggy, would you count?
I see 14 hands, so that would be unanimous.
That takes care of that. Are there any other motions,
yes.
David?
I'd like to at least, and I'm not sure if this is going to be a motion, but just as part of the recommendation to the finance director. David, since we were, this is probably have to come to the council, but when you're looking at the revenues coming in for the business licenses, that was increased by $15,000 this fiscal year to help pay for an economic development position, which may not actually be happening at this point. So I'm just saying that from a revenue standpoint, we were projecting to increase the business license ordinance $10. We were being asked to do that based on the economic development position. That might not be necessary, so I at least like to note that that business license amount of $145,000 may need to go back to $130,000 under the circumstances.
That number never included the $15,000.
Well, I'll just put it this way. It was in a staff cover sheet at the council meeting 2 weeks ago that the $10 increase in the business license ordinance was going to be put in place to help pay for a new economic development position. It was under the fiscal notes. I brought that up about five times over the past 2 weeks. I just want to note it, and I can show you the document after the meeting to at least get some clarification.
This does not mean that we have closed the discussion on economic development.
No.
The city council will visit that with earnestness. Economic development is extremely important to this community, but the council will have to visit that. Are there any other recommendations that come to the floor? We have, yes, sir.
Yes. I make a motion that the city find sufficient funds in its existing budget and a reduction in capital programs to reduce the rate increases of both the wastewater and water funds to a maximum of 5%.
I'd like to speak against that. Can I, sir?
I'll get to you right in a minute. Do you have it written out?
No.
Would you write it, please? Write the motion, because Peggy has to have it written and give it to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has to have it written and give it to her. While you're writing out the motion, thank you very much. We'll go to Dick Beamer.
I'd like to speak in opposition to that. Last year, the city council agreed in principle to the five-year plan as outlined by our city engineer. Patricia and Laura and Ralph were not there because they weren't on the council at that time. Of course, the present council is not bound by that, even though it was an agreement in principle. I would point out that the only things that have changed in the ensuing year, we are now more aware of the tenuous condition of our dams. I further point out that the last meeting, two people spoke regarding the proposal for raising the sewer water rates, one for, one against. This evening, a lady spoke against the increase of water rates, but her facts were at best disingenuous. My chart says after 5 years, the proposed rate would bring us to the average household to $129.99. She wanted to compare other city rates for water and sewer in 2011 with her projected rate in 2017, and she wanted to compare those. And I would suggest that's comparing apples and oranges, not apples and apples. I would suggest that we recommend to the city council in the new budget that we proceed with the five-year plan as we proposed last year.
Did we have a, I'm just curious, was there a second on them? Patricia, were you going to second
that? No, we have a second.
Okay, yet, I was just curious.
Yeah, stand by.
Write it out.
What? Stand by.
I'm done.
Go ahead, Bean.
I'm done.
You're done? Do you have your motion again? Yes, we haven't heard the motion formally presented yet. We've got to have a motion. Yes, Ben.
2 weeks ago, was that a formal motion that David made about the task force?
That's on the agenda later on this evening, and I'm going to talk about that.
I just was asking the question there. I couldn't remember if we had a formal motion.
No, it wasn't formal.
It was to be a formal motion tonight.
It was
tonight.
An informal motion.
It was more a discussion item.
All right. Dean, did you have something? Okay.
I have a recommendation after this.
We're getting at the edge of our seats, waiting for this motion.
Pressure's on you, right?
No, it's the same as I said. I
know. We want to hear it read again.
Okay.
We are slow learners.
Well, hopefully this is what I said before.
All right.
You'll be close.
I move the city find sufficient funds in the budget or through a reduction in capital projects to limit the water wastewater increase to a maximum of 5%.
All right, fine, if you'll give that to Peggy. Is there a second for that motion? Is there a second for that motion?
I was going to second it, but
there
I just,
is no,
I just thought about something.
No second for the motion?
We can second.
The motion dies.
Can I have a comment?
Yes, you may have a comment.
The reason I want to abstain from it is because Mark brought up a good point. We weren't given the opportunity to discuss anything.
We're discussing the motion now after you go ahead and
the motion has been killed,
and that's the end of that motion. If we want to make another motion, we can. Are there any other motions?
I guess we're not going to have a second on that.
No.
That's fine.
There was no second. Are there any other motions? Yes, Dean.
I don't have a motion. I have a recommendation.
Fine. Very good.
One of the things that we talked about 3 years ago, we eliminated a police patrol position. And I've asked the last couple of years to reinstate that. One of the things that I was asked 3 years ago was, where's the money coming from for that position? And my answer to that today is, where did the money go that took the position away in the first place? And looking at the police budget and their request this year, I would like to recommend that we eliminate the request for the records clerk. I got an email from the chief that showed the reports written over the last 4 years by the officers has been pretty stagnant. There hasn't been an increase or decrease. And I also recommend that since they're asking for two new patrol cars tonight, will someone take his gun away from that? that we eliminate the two patrol cars for this year and take the funds for those two items and add a patrol position that was taken away 3 years ago.
Are you making that as a motion or a recommendation?
You have to make...
Yeah.
What is this? I mean, a recommendation for the council to
you have
take
to make
up
that
next
as
meeting?
A motion. You have
well,
to make that as a motion.
I'd like to have that in the budget document from the committee to suggest to city council.
What we're doing here is we're trying to tell the city council what items need to come out of the budget, and that's not our job. Our job is not to tell them that. The city council will make that determination. You as a member of that city council will be the one to make that determination at that level. This is beyond our pay grade, what you're asking here. And unless you want to make it in the form of a motion where we would all vote and probably vote it down, I don't know. Whatever you want to do, we want to do, because
the motion would probably be to add in another police officer, and then
my motion would be to add another patrol, the reinstated patrol position,
yes,
right,
and not fund the records clerk and
Is that a one-on-one? I mean, is that basically a net of zero when you add one and take away the other? Because if it's not, then we're going to be asking more.
Well, the records clerk is less than a patrol position.
Dean, just make a motion to add a cop.
Okay.
And then they
have to figure out. Yeah, I think we add a patrol position.
I think,
is that what you want?
If that's what you want, yeah. It doesn't matter how it's
going to be. What we're doing here, once again, is walking on the toes of the city council. I think the first thing you can do when you get to the council level is to make that proposal to them. They're the ones that go in and tweak it. This is not the place to make that proposal. We all realize, since you've made a recommendation, it's in the minutes, that we have made that, you know, it's a recommendation coming from the floor. We've made a lot of recommendations. We have a recommendation that says, hey, we don't want a 15% raise in our water rates, we want a 5% raise. And even though it's voted down, it's in the minute, right away, at the city council level, that would come up the first item on my agenda. Bang, I want a 5%. The city council is the one that nails that down, definitely.
But Mr. Chair, that's only one committee member who wanted that. And so how do you get to some consensus that the budget committee agreed with that?
Well, we don't agree with it because we're not putting in a motion or voting on it. However, it's in the minutes, and he has expressed his point of view as a recommendation. We've all expressed our point of view as recommendations, and they're in the minutes. The city council has the minutes. We're all sitting here together. When it comes to your level, you know how the people feel. The budget committee is to assist. Is our budget procedure being followed? We are following our budget procedure. He just stood there and told us we're following it. We're not telling him what to do. We're not taking out a contingency, etc. So,
Robert, can I just have one?
Yes.
This might help. The difference between making a motion and voting versus a recommendation is if we make a motion and vote like we did with the transit loop, then we're asking the budget officer to change the proposed budget to an approved budget with that change. So when the council gets the budget to adopt next month, it will be the approved budget. The motion we just made in the transit loop will reflect that in the budget document. If we just make a recommendation without voting on it, it's just that, a recommendation. It doesn't get reflected in the approved budget, which then gets adopted by the council. So if you want to make a motion for the purpose of changing the budget document that will be before the council next month, then make a motion. If you just want to let the council know what you're thinking, leave it as a recommendation.
Because what happens is the fact that the city council can take a look at all that we do and say, good, or thank you very much.
So if you want to see that reflected in the budget document that we're going to look at as a council, Dean, then you make it as a motion. If you want to just note it for a further discussion next month, leave it as a recommendation.
Well, I'd like to make the motion then, because I'd like to see it in the budget document.
Fine. Would you write the motion out, please?
The motion I propose that we add a police patrol position. And
would you write it out, please, for us and give it to Peggy?
Now you see the difference between that. Okay. What? Now you understand why the motion could be important for you versus just a recommendation.
And after you write it out, would you read the motion for us so we can hear it?
Do I need to add that where the money's coming from?
No.
And then the reduction?
No, that's
the budget. Okay. It's a simple motion. The motion is to add one patrol position to police budget for the 2013-2014 budget.
Do we have a second for this motion? There is no second for the motion. The motion fails.
Chair?
David, yes, sir.
I'd like to bring my motion back. I've been asked to put it on the floor again because there is a second.
All right.
So, what did I say before?
Is it the same motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Peggy, would you read the motion?
Yes. I move that the city find sufficient funds in the budget or through a reduction in capital projects to limit the water and wastewater increase to a maximum of 5%.
Second. Do we have a second for this motion?
Second.
Second has been noted. All
discussion.
Discussions.
Yeah.
Do we have any discussion at all on this?
I got one thing to say.
All right.
If we raise the if city council raises the raises our water bill 5%, then it will never go down. If you take if you were to take and do this in an alternative way and just do that, what do they call that, that $6 is on the water bill? Or $6.50 or whatever it was? If you did it like that for, and limit it to 1 year, and then the task force that is going to be created will then, at the end of that 1 year, have a alternative plan, and that fixed amount of, that fixed amount then will disappear and be replaced with the permanent alternative.
Sir.
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm going to abstain on this vote, and my reasoning, the reason I'm taking the time to say that is I had hoped that with the use of the subcommittee and a little more time, that we would have been able to arrive at some sort of more fleshed out, well thought out process for potentially reducing.
At the city council level, that'll be appropriate.
Right. Even reducing from 15 down to some level, but we haven't had the opportunity or the time to do that. So at this point,
I just have to, Peggy, you just can't abstain. There's got to be a reason, like a conflict of interest or something like that. So, I mean, I'm having an issue with people abstaining. I mean, there's usually reasons why you abstain.
Okay.
If you don't agree with something, you vote no. But abstaining, I think, Mark, is really reserved for those cases where you have a conflict and you can't vote because of some legal reason. Just because you don't want to vote probably doesn't rise to the level of being able to abstain. I just want to note that.
Let's try this one on, David. Procedurally, we thought we were going to have another meeting, the subcommittee, and we were going to spend time fleshing out how we might get to some kind of reduction somewhere below 15%. Unfortunately, I wasn't in charge of the outcome that ended up determining that we wouldn't be making a report tonight, nor would we have time to actually develop another document. So as part of the subcommittee, the three of us, I can't be certain that I'm necessarily for or against Ralph and Patricia, having not had the opportunity to discuss that. That's my conflict.
You'll have the opportunity when you get to the council level to do that, and that's where it should be done.
Okay.
That's where it should be done. That's the insistence of the things we want to do, not to assist them. Our job is to assist. We have any more discussion?
I just like to note that. And I don't have the agenda for Monday's meeting in front of me, Peggy, but my understanding was the council was going to be looking at the Public Works Director recommendations for water and sewer rate increases. Is that on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. So on the agenda Monday, we as a council, based on the feedback we're getting from this committee, will be deciding whether we're going to adopt our Public Works Director's recommendation for 15% rate increases for water and sewer. That is still a policy decision we have to make as a council. That decision will then get incorporated, I believe, into the document that will be approved as a budget document later on next month. So I guess what I'm saying, Ralph and Patricia and others, is this motion, whether it passes or fails tonight, is probably still going to be a topic of discussion at Monday evening's meeting, because what's in this proposed document as a rate increase is still yet to be determined by the council, separate from this budget committee process. And that's going to happen Monday. So I will be voting no on this, only because I want to give our Public Works Director an opportunity on Monday, as part of our agenda, to have that discussion with the council so we can make that policy choice on Monday. I don't want to jump the gun and vote on something that might be inconsistent with what we're going to be discussing Monday. That's why I'm voting no.
I think the group owes it to the citizens of Newport to take a position on the water increase as the budget.
Well, that's fine.
And
that's fine.
I think they should, and of course, the 5% number is somewhat arbitrary. It could be 4%, it could be 10%. I also think if you all look at the budget as it was presented to us, at the level of information we received, there is plenty of, and I'll use the offensive term, but I think it's appropriate, fat in that budget, that $1 million or whatever you want to take back, $500,000 or whatever you choose, is available without a major deleterious impact on city services. Will it be felt? Sure, it'll be felt. Things will, you may not get as many new vehicles, you may not get a 50% increase in your clothing allowance. The fuel bills may not be able to go up by 30%. There's a lot of things in there in the on the side of the increases that look kind of questionable to me, but we were unable to find out what those validity of those things were. So,
we have a motion on the floor. It has been seconded. All in favor of the motion? We have a motion on the floor. It has been seconded.
Well, the motion was Ralph's motion.
Yes, Ralph's motion. Would you read the motion again, Peggy?
I move the city find sufficient funds in the budget or through a reduction in capital projects to limit the water and wastewater increases to a maximum of 5%.
All of you who are not in favor of the motion, raise your hands.
Not in favor?
Okay. Not in favor.
How many?
10. Four.
All in favor of the motion, raise your hands.
Oh, then I must have it.
Well, Mark's abstaining, but we have one missing.
Still.
Don raised his hand. I'm not just going that, correct?
Yeah. Are you in favor?
Opposed.
Okay, so it was 11.
Okay, so 11.
I have before me proposed motions that are state mandated. You have them also in front of you. You can read them. To fill in the blanks, I move to approve the City of Newport's 2013-2014 fiscal year budget as submitted on 7 May 2013 and revised in part by addendum number one in the amount of $77,640 and number two in the amount of $641,489 presented to the budget committee on May 30th. Those are the numbers provided to me by our fiscal manager.
Okay.
All in favor of this motion, raise your hands.
And that was incorporating what we voted on with the transit, right.
Right,
David?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No. This is addendum number one and addendum number two, which I'd be happy to distribute to you. It has, unless the budget is approved tonight, and if I understood what you said, David, if you're going to wait until Monday night presentation by, let's talk about this after.
Yeah, after. Yeah.
Okay.
All in favor, raise your hand, please.
I'm still unclear. What I'm still unclear what I'm voting on here. That's why I'm not raising my hand just yet.
You're voting on this?
No, I'm trying to understand what I'm voting on here versus the motion with respect to the transit loop and the fact that the water and sewer rate increases have yet to be determined until Monday, which could change what eventually is perhaps either approved or what comes before the council for the adoption process. It seems like things are kind of still happening, and I just want to make sure, David, what I'm voting on here isn't going to preclude anything Monday that could have an impact.
If the proposed budget is approved tonight, that is the budget that goes on June 17th, intact as it is, to the council for adoption.
Okay, on June 3rd, which is Monday, we're actually going to decide as a council whether we want to include those 15% rate increases in the budget that we adopt.
If you don't approve the budget tonight, then we need to have a fourth meeting.
All I'm saying is, what's the use of having Monday's agenda item if we're going to vote on it tonight? That's all I'm bringing up.
That's a good question. I don't have an answer for you.
Do we have to vote on these tonight?
Not if you want to have another meeting of the budget committee to approve a budget, which has to be in for next Monday.
No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, that's the whole reason why I'm a little bit concerned about the timing. And again,
vote against
the goal was to have an approved budget by the budget committee reflecting in part what the council's direction was going to be on water and sewer rate increases. I suppose we can approve a budget with those 15% rate increases, but if the council on Monday comes up with something different, then we'll have to make those coincide as part of the budget adoption process?
No, it'll have to be done after budget adoption. The council...
No, let me interrupt, because I think you're right, because you're adopting the budget the 17th.
Right.
You can make amendments on that night.
Yes,
to
sure.
Reflect okay. Any changes
right.
That you made. So.
Okay. I understand. So if I vote on this motion tonight, David.
Yes.
Okay. That transit loop motion which was the only motion we actually voted on and approved, is that incorporated in this main motion right now? Well, then, how will that be reflected in the approved budget that you're going to be handing off to the council on the 17th?
Because there would be, since the budget hasn't yet been approved, anything that happens tonight will be added to addendums number 1 and 2.
Well, there's no motion that says approves the budget. I just see a motion 1, a motion 2.
No, that's just one.
Okay. So there will be a motion that approves the budget after all these motions.
Robert, didn't I
there
hear you
tonight,
say
yes.
early
there
on that the budget committee is simply making a recommendation
yes.
that the council can go through and change this budget, even if it's approved tonight by the budget
The council can do whatever they want to on Monday.
Yes,
so,
but, you...
but what I'm trying to say is then we're not losing the bus loop thing. That's just something we have to continue on in this process and get it in formally. Was it on the...
If the budget is approved tonight with that transit change will be in the approved budget.
Yes.
That's submitted to the council for it.
Exactly.
But is that because we did the motion tonight, you have to include that then? Or
yes.
What?
Yes.
I have to include anything that you put into the budget before approval tonight.
So if we vote on the motion 1 that Robert's just given us, that does or does not include the budget, the transit loop?
Those two addendums are... And the second one, the big one, 600-some-thousand, is basically 640,000 and 640,000 now. Those, however, came from primarily my mistakes, and the 640,000 sounds a whole lot bigger than it is. It's simply some things that I didn't pick up. The net effect is zero.
So where do we put... Okay, I was...
But I'm saying anything else, economic development, transit, anything else that occurs tonight prior to a motion that is approved and you have an approved budget, that budget is the one that is taken to the council for adoption.
But we can change it at that point until... How are we getting this transit in there?
Okay.
By voting on it tonight, say we want this in the budget.
But we should include that in the main motion, because right now the first three words of motion 1 is I move to approve the City of Newport budget. We're approving the budget with addendum 1 and addendum 2. If we don't include the transit loop, then we're not approving the budget with that transit loop. We have to include that in motion 1.
Then if there's not going to be a third motion, I would add it to that motion.
We have
to,
I mean, that's what we have to add to approve the budget with that change.
Then I would add that.
So that has to be added. So the transit loop change has to be included as part of motion 1. The next question is, if we vote to approve this budget right now using motion 1, and there's a change at the council level on Monday with respect to the water and wastewater rates, then that will have to be dealt with and reflected in what's adopted by the council on the 17th, whether it's additional motions on the 17th or something along those lines. But I just want folks to know that how we vote tonight does have some ramifications for how things are going to be presented in the upcoming month.
Yes.
All right. Let's read it again. I move to approve the City of Newport 2013-2014 fiscal year budget as submitted to include the transit loop motion on May 7, 2013 as revised in part by agenda number 1 in the amount of $77,640 and number 2 in the amount of $641,489 presented to the Budget Committee on May 30, 2013.
Second.
Motion has been made. It has been seconded.
Who seconded?
Is there a second to this motion?
I'll second it.
It has been seconded. All in favor?
Excuse me. I want to say one thing, Robert. Excuse me. I'm going to vote in favor of this motion with the understanding that on Monday, we're going to be taking a look at the water and wastewater rates that could change this approved budget that we're voting on tonight, and I'll reserve any changes I make with respect to those water and wastewater rates for Monday night, which would then have to be reflected in the adopted budget.
Peggy,
and that's for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Well, I don't know who made that motion.
Robert.
I know.
Robert made it. And Sandy seconded it.
I got
sick. And that includes any other changes the council wishes to make.
So we're going to have another motion to approve the overall budget. Is that correct?
No, that's right here.
This is it.
This is it.
The motion.
This is the motion.
I move to approve the City of Newport 2013-2014 fiscal year budget as submitted to include the transit loop motion, etc. Okay?
That's it.
All in favor of this motion, raise your hand, please. Anyone opposed? Motion number two, I move to approve the Newport Urban Renewal Agency 2013-14 fiscal year budget and levy 100% of the tax increment for the South Beach Urban Renewal District.
Second.
There's a second to that motion. All in favor of this motion, raise your hands, please. All opposed?
11-1.
Motion number three, approval of permanent tax rate for 2013-14. I move to approve property taxes as the permanent tax rate of 5.5938 per 1,000 of assessed value for operating purposes in the general fund, and in the amount of 100,703 for the wastewater general obligation, and 861,715 for the water treatment plant general obligation bond principal and interest in the debt service fund.
Second.
There's a second to that motion. All in favor of this motion, raise your hand, please. All opposed, raise your hands. Motion carried. Ladies and gentlemen, it's we have the discussion regarding task force. David, take this brief. You have your task force, right?
So at the last budget committee meeting and at the last council meeting, we talked about putting together a subgroup of the council and the budget committee starting next fiscal year to look at options for funding water, wastewater, stormwater, streets, etc., which could include rate increases, urban renewal, general obligation bonds, SDCs, etc. The people that volunteered to be on that subgroup were on the council, Laura and myself, and on the budget committee, Patricia and Fred. Laura, I know you still want to be on it. Patricia, Fred, you still want to be on it?
Sure.
Patricia?
Sure.
Okay. So,
I'm the one that wants to be on it.
You do?
Because I thought I was signing up for something different.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you saw. Well?
I was signing up to help Tim do a sales job on the tax.
On the marketing.
On marketing. Yeah. I wasn't planning to do it yet.
Okay, well, would another council member want to be? Okay. Well, Ralph or Mark, or both? I guess. You want both? You want both one again? Okay, that's three. That's still good. Okay, so we'll put Ralph and Mark on it, and myself, Patricia and Fred, and then the staff would be Tim, Derek, David, and perhaps Ken is interim city manager, or perhaps our new city manager. And something more formal will be before the council to create this task force with some scope of work and some timelines. And speaking with Tim about this, our thinking was that after the fiscal year starts in July, and once we get this budget approved and adopted and it's moving forward, and whatever those water and sewer rates are going to be, we'll have to make those decisions as a council next month. We'll start talking about this and hopefully come back to the council with a recommendation by the end of this year, calendar year that is, to at least get the budget process going for the following fiscal year. So I'll put something together with Peggy as a task force resolution. Perhaps that will be before the council either on June 17th or the first meeting in July. And then we'll just keep the budget committee members updated. Fred and Patricia can do that, and we can do that as well. So I think it's a way forward to address these issues, and hopefully we'll come up with some good recommendations.
David, when's the next time the budget committee meets? This is it.
This is it.
So there's not going to be any monthly meetings or anything?
No.
No. There will be a pre-budget meeting, which usually takes place in February, March of next year, in which David Marshall goes over some of the projections for how we're going to deal with issues, but that's it.
Yes. And probably at that pre-budget meeting, this is when this task force will come forward, make their statement right at the front to see if we can do something. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all volunteers helping the city of Newport progress. I hope that you all realize how important your job is. This meeting is adjourned.
I just want to make sure who from the budget committee wanted to be on it.